720 WGN. It is it's Dane Neal in on Christmas night to help us enjoy our Christmas. Back on live air for WGN Radio here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And, you know, really, I don't know if it feels, it feels like Christmas to me. I am a big fan. I have my El Nino, like, foam finger, like, flying. And I am just so excited about it. They talk about a Christmas that's, oh, it's not a white Christmas. It's a brown Christmas. No, it's an absolute 100% bona fide green Christmas.
It's a comfortable Christmas to me.
I think that's it. You know, when was the last actual, you know, classic Christmas song written? Of course, that was the voice of Dino Tiberi. He'll be in studio with us tonight, celebrating Christmas, sharing Christmas along with you. And you guys can do that at 312-981-7200. You know, we've done this Christmas show before. And what we want to do is offer up, and this was what was so cool last year, is people were able to share their Christmas, you know, share what it is that they got, share some of the trends that were out there, shared what the kids got, shared what they gave to their loved ones, shared what people were disappointed about not getting, you know, maybe like a sweater on such a warm day.
Electronic, some sort of electronic thing they wanted, the cutting edge gift this year and didn't get it.
The drone was the hot gift. We did some interviews leading up to, you know, through the holiday season, and that kind of hoverboard, skateboard thing was very popular. Of course, the drone's very popular, but there's so much controversy with the gifts like this year. You know, I mean, well, I guess through history, right, Dino? Because remember the Red Ryder, you know, with
you can put an eye out.
You can put an eye out, right? It's like, and so with the drone, you can put down, you know, a 747 if it gets up there. And then, of course, the other thing, the skateboard, hoverboard bursts into flames on a regular basis.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Good thing it didn't happen under the tree. You know, there's been a lot of people, you know, talking about it this year with all of the various gifts. And then, of course, the Star Wars themes. You see a lot of gifts with that because of the new movie that just came out. So it's
Star Wars is big. You know, I would have liked to have gotten in on the Star Wars thing. We always hear about the of course, if you'll remember a couple weeks ago, you know, we had Tito Santana, the famous wrestler. And, you know, and some of these crazes that come out on the product side, you just happen to be in the right place at the right time. George Foreman with his grill. Very popular. He made hundreds of millions of dollars. And I guess that Hulk Hogan shared a story where I guess they had the same agent, and the call came in on, hey, who wants to do the grill? And Hulk didn't get the call. So they went on next, and then they called George Foreman, and the rest is history.
The rest is history. Yeah, he had a clothing line after that as well. So
Hulk Hogan, like tiny red pants.
No, that would be George Foreman had a clothing line as well. So
really?
What
kind of clothes would he wear?
It was everything. I remember seeing there were slacks, shirts, you name it. It was bigger sizes, but I seen the old George Foreman right on the pants there. I'm like, oh, I'd have to give this a shot. Why not?
Well, you know what? I've seen George Foreman. He's got his own line of meat, too. And I think it parlays off of the success of the George Foreman grill. You figure he knows how to cook meat. Maybe he knows what meat to cook.
Yeah,
right?
That's probably part of it all. So, yeah, Christmas. Unbelievable. It's already here. One more week left in the calendar year for 2015. Just rolling right up on us here.
It's exciting, but don't make it end so soon, Dino. This is Christmas. Let's savor. Let's enjoy it. Every last drop of Christmas. And if you want to give a call or a text and you want to go ahead and do that at 312-981-7200, here's the other thing that you can do. You could share your thoughts on Christmas, things you're thankful for. Plus, we're going to have kind of an Oprah-esque theme. We're going to do some of our favorite things. So we're going to be able to share some of our favorite things that we enjoy. I think Barbara Streisand did a favorite thing song, so maybe it's more Streisand than it is Oprah. Maybe it's a blend of those two great ladies. So if you're thankful for anything, or you've got something that's one of your favorite things that you're looking forward to in 2016, 312-981-7200. And everybody who does that, everybody weighs in, whether it's through text, and that number is the same, or through a call. You're going to be entered to win a couple different prizes. Actually, a few. We've got wellness mats. Now, if you've heard of wellness mats, well, then you're in the educated minority here. But from on the chef side, from a comfort side, as far as a mat in your kitchen that you would have where, let's say, you were doing dishes or at a workstation if you're preparing food, it is the absolute Rolls Royce of kitchen mats. I mean, sometimes it's tough to sell the sizzle of a kitchen mat, and they're not a sponsor in any way. This is just a product that I think is great, and I got them. I talked them into giving our listeners one of the wellness mats tonight as part of our Christmas broadcast. Also, Ergo Chef knives. So this is another thing. Great knives out there. Guy Fieri, they created his original line, Michael Simon on the Chew. They've got his knives. And so we've got a chef's knife that we'll be able to give away from Ergo Chef to people who text in or call in and kind of share their Christmas with us on WGN.
That's a great opportunity to get yourself a late gift for yourself or someone else.
Well, mostly for yourself.
Yeah, no. For yourself, of course.
And we're going to be joined by so many, either some of our favorite people or some of our favorite things. Leza Cannoli. Remember Leza Cannoli?
Yep.
You do?
Barely.
Okay. No, these are the best cannolis on the planet. You know, it looks like you're standing on the best mat. You've got the best cannoli in your hand. We're going to be talking with Ed Leza at some point in the program. Bacon Fest. Jake, who's going to be upstairs doing some of the engineering for us. And Shantae, I'm waving at her right now. She is in the booth. She is going to be ably manning all of the production stuff for us. He was like, Bacon Fest. When he heard it, right, his ears perked up.
Oh, absolutely.
If a human can do that. Yeah,
he lit right into that. That was you hit a chord with him. He started talking about it and...
And how much he loved it. It
Absolutely.
Wasn't like, you know, I'm going to avoid it. It was like, wow,
no.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Seth Zurr is going to be joining us, talking a little Bacon Fest. It is one of our favorite things. It is one of Chicago's favorite events. It sells out
in just a
matter of minutes. And you know why? Because it's great.
Right.
Because there's great restaurants, great chefs, great food. And, of course, the secret ingredient to all things good bacon, right?
Mm, of course.
Lagunitas, you want to wash down some bacon, you're going to want a beverage. So we're going to have, we've got Karen Hamilton. She is actually the sister of the guy who started Lagunitas, and now she's the community. Who knows the story better, right, than her?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's going to share the story of Lagunitas, because, of course, people think of them as a California beer, but these are Chicago people, and that tap room has been doing really great.
Yeah, it took off, really, and that's a testament to a fine product, so it's going to be good to talk about that.
Beer always sells. What is
you
it?
You know that.
Is it casinos, beer, gambling?
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's casinos, isn't it?
Yeah, right? That could be part of the big three right there.
And then also sweets. Sweets are very popular on a regular basis. And Ron Ben Israel, the sweet genius himself, you know him from Food Network. You know him from Martha Stewart. He's going to be joining us a little later on in the program. Another one of America's favorite shows as a television program on the Spike Channel. You watch the Spike Channel?
Now and then. I used to watch it more frequently years back, but I... Starting to get back into it again, little by little.
Starting to make an effort.
It's that's right.
One of your New Year's resolutions. Yep. Well, millions of people are watching the Spike Channel for just one reason, and that show is called Bar Rescue.
And I just watched an episode this afternoon, as a matter of fact.
Are you serious?
Yep.
You're prepping? You're like,
kind of boning up
for the show?
In my household, my girlfriend Dawn and I are big fans of that show. So.
What is it that you like about it? Is it just the mayhem? Is it just the fact that everybody, different people, you enjoy occasionally, watching a game inside a bar. Is that it?
Yeah, it was the one they had on today where they were revisiting old shows where they went in and had turned the places around and they were trying to see how they were doing. They were just getting updates and stuff. And it was pretty amazing some of the things that some of these places, when they were talking about, different problems and issues and between either, the physical location, what the theme was, and he basically turns the thing upside down. I mean, he goes from top to bottom, and really, if they need a kick in the butt, he'll turn them around and get it to be profitable again. And just the process of watching that is pretty good to watch. I really enjoy it.
John Taffer, he dispenses his own brand of bar justice, right?
Yep.
And a little tough love, maybe more than you need tough love, but he's got a great track record of turning those businesses around. They need help, and we get to watch, right, as they get yelled at. And then in the end, it always ends with, kind of that officer and gentleman thing. There's like people carrying people through a doorway and some hugging. And
it's like watching an episode of the Brady Bunch at the end. Everything's all well, and it ends well,
Right, he never leaves it like, I can't take it, I'm out. It never happens.
Well, there have been a couple he's walked out on, though. And he just never went back to it. So
John Taffer is going to join us in a little bit as well. And then, of course, Eataly is one of our favorite places here in Chicago. We're going to have the whole team from Eataly in studio. Not the whole team. They got like 12,000 employees. So we'll have like four or five.
That'll be a tight squeeze in here.
Yep, four or five of them. And then have you ever watched the show Property Brothers?
I have.
Okay, so J.D. Scott is one of the Scott brothers, and he's on Brothers at Home, and he's on a couple different shows, not only on HGTV, but the other one. So he's going to call us from their home during the Scott family Christmas.
No kidding. That'll
pushing himself away from the table and then going to give us a call here on WGN. So stay tuned for J.D. Scott. That's going to come up about 10 o'clock. So we've got a lot of time coming up. Also, Dr. Totes is going to be joining us really pretty quick. And, I think when people think of what are they looking for 2016, it's good health. Right?
There's no question about that. It's, you roll into 2016, you want to make sure you get off on a good foot, so to speak, or a good back, if that's the case. But
Yep, she's a chiropractor. She's going to come in and talk about how to well, I'm sure most people, they say the most important thing is your health. You can talk about the health of your back and maybe take some questions and some calls from you guys. 312-981-7200. And here's the things you can win: the knife from ErgoChef, the mat, and then two tickets to Classic Cinemas to any movie that you want. You can even see Star Wars if you want.
I won't be, because I'm not a huge fan of it, even though we talked about it. But I'm sure there'll be plenty of people out there that'll take advantage of that opportunity. No question about it.
You got it. All right. It's Dave Neal in on Christmas Evening with you on WGN 720 WGN.
God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power.
720 WGN. It is Dave Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Christmas night. And again, to let people know that they can, throughout the course of the program, and once we start getting into some of the interviews and people sharing some of their thoughts, it's 312-981-7200. And here's the things that you'll be entered to win. You've got two passes to go see a Classic Cinemas movie, and they've got locations at the Lake Theater in Oak Park, of course, the York Theater in Elmhurst. They've got one out in St. Charles. There's a bunch of different locations. You can go to Classic Cinemas. .com and look for that. You can see the Star Wars movie or whatever movie that you think you might want to see. You know, it's up to you. You could see, I don't know, maybe A Fish Called Wanda. Maybe see that. No, I don't think you can see that. As well as wellness mats. We've got a wellness mat that is going to be probably a 2x3 mat. And those mats go for, I think, somewhere over $200 for those. And those are pretty great. So you'll be entered to win that, as well as a Ergo Chef knife, probably a Michael Simon knife, maybe a 9-inch chef knife. And that's going to be a great prize too. So Christmas doesn't stop. You may have gotten all your presents earlier today, but you can win some more here on WGN. So now, when you think of wellness mat, one of the things that they tell me about it, I like it because it's really good on your feet, but it's supposed to help your back. You know, if you've got a good surface underneath you, you know, when you're either working in the kitchen long hours or even just working trying to prepare that next holiday meal. And on the line with, well, she's not on the line. She's actually in front of me. I can see her right now. So which mic is she on? Do you know offhand? Dr. Totes,
yes.
Speak into the microphone. There you are.
Hi, Dane.
Welcome
how are
to
you?
WGN.
Thanks for having me today.
In person. Now, we talk about some of the things that people value most and some of their favorite things. And, you know, although some people, you know, take it for granted, I think their health, right, is one of those things that everybody, you kind of need almost, right, is an essential thing to be able to enjoy anything else.
So, very much so.
So let's talk about it. Like, what do you do? To kind of maintain, because you have to kind of be this example also, too. So not only do you help people with their health, specifically with their back, but what's your health regimen?
Well, it would be really bad to not practice what I preach. So things that I do to keep healthy, for sure, is revolves a lot around making sure that I'm eating a very balanced diet, you know, lots of vegetables, some fruits, healthy bits of protein and good fat. I'm a big vigilante for sleep, actually. I think people need good quality sleep, you know, a good 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night in a nice, dark, cool room, so that you can get into those deep states of restorative sleep, that and some movement. So we talk about movement and nutrition.
Movement while you're sleeping?
Not while I'm sleeping,
okay.
No. But movement and nutrition, not diet and exercise, because weirdly those are dirty little words that nobody ever wants to do anything with. But when we use the words movement, you know, all of a sudden it's not so much exercise, it's doing something that involves a physical activity that you love, whether that's yoga or Pilates or going for a walk in the woods or going for a walk down beautiful Michigan Avenue tonight. We actually parked over by the Art Institute and walked over here today just so that we could, A, get a little bit of a walk in, but take in the city and its beauty on this holiday.
Movement and nutrition instead of diet and exercise. That's kind of, it's kind of like my head just kind of exploded a little bit, like that one commercial with the blue stuff, purple. Wow, that's crazy. You don't think about that, but that makes, I mean, the end result is similar, right? Or
yes.
At least you're going to get some beneficial effects from that.
Very much so.
Wow, movement. And now you talk about you being a vigilante for sleep. I am too, but I'm losing that battle. It's like a one-man protest. I can't seem to get any sleep.
It's the hard part of having small children in the house.
Yeah, right. So your suggestion, and of course people are listening, you know, if anybody wants to text in a question, 312-981-7200, and Jake's going to help me pull up the text line here. so that I can see them. So your suggestion is to take those small children and put them outside.
Totally. Put them right. No, not necessarily.
In a tent or something.
But, you know, I mean, having good sleep habits starts at a young age. So teaching your children good sleep habits of, you know, regular routines at bedtime and having a bedtime ritual and routine.
I don't have any of that.
Right? So if it's the, you know, give them a bath, read them a story, you know, so you've got this routine where they know the minute it starts, and that might take 45 minutes or an hour to get them down the bed, but the minute it starts, they begin to know that that's their time to wind down and to get to sleep. And what does that do? If you get them to sleep, they sleep well, you sleep well, and then you have happy, rested children the next day instead of dealing with temper tantrums and angry kids.
Dina, you got any thoughts on that? I mean, do you get enough sleep? I know. I don't. I'd love to, though. It's not like I'm against it. Like, I'm crazy. I'm partying. No.
Everybody loves sleep, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be the first to admit that I don't get enough. If I get 6 hours a night, that's a good night for me. I'm restless. I roll around a lot. You know, I don't go to bed early enough. And then I wonder why the next day I'm sleep deprived. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend and I have had these discussions over and over again. Like, you know why you're tired. You just don't get enough. You're not going to bed early enough.
Right. Well, and what happens of the not going to bed early enough is it changes your circadian rhythm, which is your body's natural rhythms of knowing what time it is to get to sleep. And optimally, that time should be sometime between about 9 and 11 to 11:30 is what time we should be getting to bed, because then we should be waking up when the sun comes up.
Yeah, and I know she's really good about doing that, going to bed early, and I'm always the one that's coming in later. And she's also getting up before I am in the morning, so mm-hmm. it's one of those things where part of the problem is that we're going back and forth between, you know, she's up early, I'm up later, and, you know, trying to get that balance. And
my husband and I have the same problem.
Yeah, some days it works out right and some days it doesn't. But, you know, that's a goal of mine coming up in the next year is to try to make an effort to try to get to bed earlier and try to get more solid sleep.
Well, and I can tell you that when I started my doing this bedtime ritual for myself, which is, you know, shut off the electronics an hour before I go to bed, which includes TV, anything that's backlit, because that stimulates an area in your brain called your RAS, which is your reticular activating system, which tells your brain you should be awake for 60 minutes after you shut that off. So if you put it off, any of those electronics that are backlit, an hour before you go to sleep, that's the beginning of starting getting yourself to sleep. And the tough part is a lot of people use their phone as an alarm clock.
See, that's right? The thing is you always have your phone. There's just nothing about anything that makes this easy. Because, right, our phones have become so indispensable that we yes. use them not only for our alarm clock, but also our
everything.
Clock. It's our main communication device. And,
yes.
and there's so many different things, you know, that are coming at you, whether it's like text or whether it's social media. And it's like, and you feel obligated. I don't know why. You know, like, oh, someone, Andrew Zimmern posted another, you know, wombat earlobe that he's eating. You know, I got to check this out. Like, whoa, that's nice. And so I'm obviously like, you know, and then I try to go back to bed. And I know, Dino, because you're a huge fan of the show Matlock. And so when those
can't get enough of that show, Dane, really, you know, there's only so much Andy Griffith that, you know, if you get an opportunity to watch that, you've got to take advantage of it. And if it means I'm up at 3 a.m. watching it,
right.
Unfortunately, that's a problem that I'm going to have to deal with.
With the kids, it makes it so hard because you can't negotiate them. It's like when they sleep, you sleep. So it's like you said too,
it's
just try to get them to bed at a reasonable time.
It's the most important thing as a parent of making sure that you have that bedtime ritual for your children, because then that also gives you a little bit of your free time with your significant other or by yourself in the evening, so that you've got your time to get your stuff done and or wind down yourself and then get yourself to bed. So we want to make sure everybody in the house is rested. Otherwise, you know, people always wonder, like, why their kids melt down. And if your kids aren't sleeping well and they're not eating well, their temperament goes, and so does yours. So then everybody gets all angry and, you know, fluffed
yeah,
up.
I know last night, probably not a popular night for sleep for the kids because with Santa coming, there was
Oh, I hope they're not listening. Oh, I mean, because I was about to divulge some Santa recon, but go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I know a few friends of mine, they had trouble with their kids getting to bed last night, and, you know, it's a one-time thing I know during the year, but yeah, you really have to get them in a pattern. And that's what they've told me is that, you know, they have got them in a pattern where they're going to bed at the same time every night and just following rituals. And I said, oh, it might work for me. I might have to, you know, mm-hmm. put myself in that spot and just get into some kind of routine. Turning off the phone is the biggest thing for me. I'm trying to squeeze everything I can squeeze out of the day. Mm-hmm. And what am I doing? I mean, I'm looking at a phone and then I'm up for another 20 minutes when I shouldn't be. So it's,
right.
you know, it just gets to be one of those things where that's why I'm sleep deprived is because I'm trying to take in too much.
I did a 40-day fast from social media last March, which was great.
How?
You know, kind of like a Lenten,
yeah, how do you do
like
that?
My Lenten well, fast in
she,
a way.
She but, kind of just she coincided it with like a was it a shipwreck or a plane crash?
Total
or,
plane crash. Okay. No, Wilson. I just you know what I did was I deleted Facebook from my phone.
Oh,
and
boy.
I have to
now
tell
you know the people at Facebook, they would not allow that. It would just consistently
well,
pop back
and
up.
Let's you know, I put a little message on there that said I was going off online, you know, and that I'd be back in 40 days. But, you know, cheers. And if people needed anything, they could email me, text me, or call me. And I have to tell you what, I did not realize how much I used my phone without thinking about it just to go kill time.
Oh, right.
And I caught myself reaching, you know, because I take the train back and forth, and reaching into my purse to grab my phone, and I was like, there's nothing on here. Put it back. So, I mean, we all get stuck in these ruts, and myself included. Until I started this bedtime ritual, I used to be a chronic insomniac.
Wow.
And now with the bedtime ritual and making sure that I'm more clear with my nutrition on what I can and can't eat in terms of inflammatory foods, now I sleep like a baby.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back from the break. We're going to talk about not only, of course, the sleep is an important thing. It's one of those foundations. You got to do it. But also, like your back, it's kind of like so as your back goes, so go you, right? You can't
yes.
have a good day. If any one of us has ever thrown our back out, mm-hmm. like you
I've
are
done
just,
that.
You're out of commission. Okay, we're going to take a quick break right now. It is Christmas night. We've got Chris Totes in studio. We're going to be talking backs and health and chiropractic. If you're calling in, stay on the line, 312-981-7200. It's Daniel in on Christmas on 720 WG.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
No, it isn't.
Oh, it's fantastic
it's
out
great.
There.
720 WGN. It is Daniel in for Justin Kaufman. I'm doing the download here on Christmas. As people downloaded many presents, right? Whether they could be gifts. Hey, that's kind of true, right? Gift certificates that they could kind of barcode.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to Christmas, and this is Christmas until midnight, take it or leave it. It is, you know, and the presents don't stop. We've got Classic Cinemas gifts. We've got Wellness Mat. We've got an Ergo Chef knife. You can go to ErgoChef.com. Pick any knife that you want. I got it from the vice president of the company. Just texted me. That is, there's some pretty nice knives on there. And knives, that's what they are. 312-981-7200 if you want to be entered in to win and get some extra Christmas out of this. So here's, someone had said from the 847 they're going to be entered in, at least their phone number. Today was better than expected. It wasn't the gifts that made the day special. It was my family members live in several different states. Finally, after 6 years of trying, seven of us, we're able to celebrate together. So Jesse, who texted in with that, entered to win, right? But sounds like they already won, right, with a nice family Christmas.
Well, of course, and that's what it's all about. This is the season. A nice family Christmas is all what it's all about. I know I had one of those myself in the last couple days, so it's been great.
You had a couple days, kind of like a Mardi Gras Christmas?
Oh, yeah, it just keeps rolling along.
It's like day three
of
Christmas.
That's right. It took 12 days of Christmas wrapped up into two.
We'll get into Dino's Christmas in a little bit. But in studio, we've got Dr. Chris Totes and Carly, her niece, right, is in studio with us as well. And before we get into some of the health properties that she's going to kind of share some information with on the chiropractic side, on the acupuncture side, that is just a giant ball of mystery, Dino.
Yeah, I've never had an acupuncture treatment. I heard it's supposed to be pretty good stuff, but
I had
one.
It was. I don't want to say weird. It was unique and different, right? So we'll talk about that. But before that, so Carly, Christmas, like how did it go? As a kid, I always looked forward to Christmas. I always thought that this was a pretty big day, and usually it delivered. So how was your Christmas?
My Christmas was very good.
Are you reading off a card?
No. To be honest, I'm just going to wing it.
What did you now? I don't know how the process works these days. I mean, before we used to write a letter, right? And actually, what that is, just to fill you in, Carly, it's a piece of paper. You write on it, then you put it in an envelope. Usually, there's a stamp, some instructions on the front that the delivery people work with in order to get it there, and then like Santa, right? And then he would kind of just figure out what he was going to do. So, did you actually ask for certain things, or did you just kind of wing it on the gift request thing too?
Well, I didn't really want anything for Christmas except for like world peace. That's really the ultimate gift right there.
Nice.
That's pretty level-headed response.
She's big-hearted.
World, that's great. All right, Carly, thank you so much. World, no, so, but did you, I know you didn't get world peace. So we're all striving for that. I don't know if we'll achieve it. I don't know if we'll ever see world peace under the tree. But so, did you get anything that you want to talk about? A sweater?
Well, I got some pretty nice beats. I mean,
okay, yeah. Some pretty nice beats. Well, that's good. You know, yeah. I think that's good. I didn't get any. Well, I feel a little jealous right now because I did not get any beats. But the things that people appreciate, not only family, from some of our texters, of course. Timothy just texted in 312-981-7200. Just so you know, I greatly appreciate you being live on Christmas. Timothy, we appreciate you listening. I live alone with no family living. Thanks for being there, all of you. Timothy, and that's WGN. That's what we do. 38 states in Canada at night, including Christmas, and happy to have you share your thoughts on Christmas. So
thanks for having me.
Oh, no, for sure, Carly. Yeah, thanks for being here and sharing, too. And so your aunt, Dr. Chris Totes, you know, people depend on you, mm-hmm. right? Not only to give them advice, like, go get some sleep. You look terrible. Which, but also, too, is on the backside. The back is so important, right? I mean, with if your back's in good shape, you're in good shape. If it's a mess, you're in trouble.
It's true. I mean, I think until you suffer from some kind of a back injury, you don't actually realize how much you use your back in day-to-day activities, whether it's, you know, sitting, walking, breathing, sneezing. We ask people all the time when they have back pain, does it hurt if you cough, sneeze, or laugh? And you wouldn't think that that makes a big difference, but when someone's had back pain or suffered from back pain and you ask them, they're like, oh, somebody told me a joke the other day, and they were like, my back was killing me. Like, you don't actually realize how much you use your back until something happens.
That's one of those things. I know, you know, I work out, and sometimes when I'm done, it won't hit me till the next day, and mm-hmm. I have to stretch out a lot now, and I didn't used to have to do that, obviously, when I was a lot younger and a lot better shape. But now it's one of those things where if I don't do that the next day, I have trouble just, you know, bending down to pick something up. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the spasms and the whole bit. So it's one of those things where you're right. If it doesn't work right, your back, just your whole core is so important.
Very much so. Very much so. And it's interesting because as you use the term core, a lot of people throw the term core around a lot, but they don't actually know what it is, which I always find intriguing when I ask people, so where is your core? And they're like,
pointing
around in the general area of their abdomen. But there's really four major muscles that are your core, which is your transverse abdominis, which is a muscle that's deep inside your abdomen. Your respiratory diaphragm, so the one that you use to breathe, that sits right at the top of your abdomen below your lungs. Your pelvic diaphragm, which makes up the bottom of your pelvis, and then there's some small muscles in the lower part of the back called your multifidi. And those are really, those four major muscles are the heart of your core, and then there's a lot of muscles around it that have a synergistic or helping function. And so when I ask people all the time, where's your core? They're like, But, you know, how to activate it's the big deal, right?
Yeah, for me, it's like, where's your core? And then just like, oh, excuse me, let me translate. Your problem areas, right? That's what I got. Well, and on the chiropractic side, and this is something I think I may have shared with you before, but, you know, if this would have been 10 years ago, I would have been in that camp that kind of said, you know, chiropractic, what is it? Why do you need it? Is it really doing anything? You know, it's just kind of scientific, kind of mumbo jumbo. Of course, it's not. And then I actually went in and had, you know, a good amount of treatments done. And it's not necessarily just like a one-stop thing. You need to do it over time. Was in a car accident and then ended up having that done. It was covered by insurance and it included a massage. And mm-hmm. so I thought, well, this is okay. You know, that's great. But the chiropractic part of it, I did not expect to get really any results. I wasn't really looking for anything, but it was great. I mean, it was amazing. I can't say like how much better I felt in general, mm-hmm. just because of the adjustments and some other things. I mean, so do you come to that where you run into people that kind of say like, hey, well, you know, what is it? They're not on board yet.
Very much so. I mean, we get a lot of people that come in that are skeptical, that have either, you know, had friends that have been helped by a chiropractic physician, or they were referred in by physical therapy or by their MD or by someone else. And they come in and they're like, well, you know, what are you going to do? And, you know, people ask how long the training is. We're trained as long as a traditional MD. The only difference is where traditional MDs focus on drugs and surgical procedures, we focus on botanical medicine, supplements, and nutrition and adjusting. So that's the differences, because as a chiropractic physician, I can't prescribe medications. I need to know what supplements or botanical medicine that I might want to give you, how it might interact with any medications that you're on, but how might we be able to use that either in conjunction with your medication or as a potential replacement where you don't necessarily need something very strong for a painkiller. Maybe we can give you something more natural, something like turmeric or boswellia, which is frankincense, or things along that line to help decrease swelling and inflammation.
That's nice, Dr. Tiltz. You threw in a kind of a Christmas, kind of a seasonal angle there.
I was waiting for myrrh to jump in there for a minute, too. But.
Just smear on a little goop of myrrh.
Right.
And you're good to go. So for those people that are thinking of, you know, hey, maybe they're having issues with their back and they're thinking, like, how would I start? You know, it's not something that necessarily they have a traumatic situation where they're injured and then that's their introduction to chiropractic. But they're thinking, hey, my back could be better. What's the best way to get going?
The best way to get going would be, most people find physicians via their friends, right? But know that there's an organization called the American Chiropractic Association that you can find physicians. You type your zip code in and it's going to give you within a radius chiropractors that participate with this organization, which is a nationally accredited organization, or the Illinois Chiropractic Society as well, which also has a similar listing. You can go in. You can discuss any health concern that you have, not necessarily just your back, but that you're not sleeping, that you want to lose weight, that you want to, that you're having neck pain, headaches. The top three conditions that chiropractors do see people for are back pain, neck pain, and headaches. They're the top three. So if you have any of those, I would say solicit your friends, solicit your family, and or, you know, Lord knows lots of people use social media to find physicians as well, whether it's ZocDoc or Yelp or any of the other organizations, and go in and have a discussion. It's just like shopping for any other doctor. You want to make sure that that person is knowledgeable and that you have a connection with them. And they're the people that are going to help you get your health back on track.
What people don't necessarily realize also is that if you've got headaches and then maybe they're taking, you know, aspirin or ibuprofen or things, but really the cause of it is something that's kind of either in your neck or your back, and that's what's causing the headaches.
Correct. Yeah. There's a lot of muscular referral that can come from the neck or from the upper back, or even the muscles in the front of the neck that can give you eye pain, ear pain, head pain. And people are astounded when I'll be working on them and we're checking the muscles around the neck. And they're like, wait a minute, that's my headache, but you're not pushing on my head. So they're called trigger points. They're the knots that are in your muscles, and they can have referral patterns that have been well documented to show that, you know, this area in your neck can cause a headache.
Well, you got something, Dina?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, do you have a lot of maintenance people that continue to come in, even after they've improved to the point where they're able to do things? Do you find a lot of people are just coming in to kind of fine-tune things after they're better?
Yeah, and we, we let people make that determination between how long they need to go between maintenance therapy. It depends a little bit on the nature of your job. Do you have arthritis or any other medical conditions that we're concerned about? But that can be anywhere from every 2 weeks to every 6 weeks to once a quarter. It kind of depends from person to person as to what it is to keep themselves well.
So it depends on your situation, but there's usually a way that you can either help repair some certain problems that may be nagging or mm-hmm. just improve your life in general in a bunch of different ways. I mean, chiropractic is bigger than just, hey, let's just crack your back. And so mm-hmm. for those people who want to get more information about you, what it is that you do in your practice, or get in touch with you to help mm-hmm. out, where can they go?
They can go to, my practice is called Serenity Family Wellness. It's at Grand and Des Plaines on the corner in the West Loop of Chicago. My website is serenity-family.com, and the phone number is 312-898-6327.
One more time with the phone number?
Sure, 312-898-6327.
Yeah, I think that sounds great. So, well, Chris, thanks so much for being in with us on Christmas here on WGN. Appreciate it. And I think that's one of the things that people value most is their health. And of course, your back is so important as well. So thanks for being in studio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more on Christmas. It's The Download. It's Dane Neal on 720 WGN. Holiday stories from WGN-TV take a heartwarming look back at Chicago's Mary Own today at 12:30, 5:30, and 9:30 only on WGN-TV. 7:20 WGN, it is Dane Neal in on the Download Christmas night. And you hear these songs are timeless, Dino.
Frosty the Snowman, one of my all-time favorites, Dane. He goes all the way back to many moons ago. Trying to think who...
All the way back to the old silk hat he found.
that's exactly right. Boy, oh boy. I've been playing Christmas music all day today, and it just reminds me, puts me in a good mood. And that's when I came down here, and now I'm here I am with you doing the night show. So it's been a great day, all the way around today on Christmas.
Well, you know, here's the thing that you could not have... necessarily told me would be the case, but like our kids absolutely love all of those shows. Like even the shows that you would think would be old and outdated and not necessarily, you know, up to par with the kids, you know, but they just like when I left to come down here to the station, they were watching the original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with a Burl Ives as kind of your plaid vested
silver and gold. Yeah, why not?
Your plaid vested snowman. You know, and that was way back before they even had claymation. It wasn't. I think it was like kind of crudely.
Yeah, the graphics were very
animals.
Primitive, right? And now it's been so advanced, but there is nothing like going back to those classics and checking them out.
And then the like Maxwell, who's our 9-year-old, he's like, Dad, that one elf. Because I'm like, I chime in. I know some of I've seen this program, so I'm like, I want to be a dentist. You know, because that's the one guy that's
right.
His quest was to be a dentist, and there's nothing wrong with that, right?
That's a good aspiration to be a dentist. They need him out there, that's for sure.
Even if you're an elf, and he says that one elf doesn't look like anything like the other elves. You know, because he's got the kind of yellow whoop-de-doo hair, and you know, there's some problems with that because you've got the abominable snowman that in one. You know, one part of the show, he's as big as a mountain. He's just enormous.
Sure.
And then as they're kind of palling around, he's just a little taller than everyone else. just kind of.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you don't really notice it unless you've watched it 28 times.
So Dino, how did your Christmas go?
Went really well today, Dane. I got to visit with my father for a couple hours today, which was always good. And then came back early afternoon, and my girlfriend Dawn had prepared a tremendous Christmas dinner, a ham and all the fixing was great, and added a nice pumpkin cheese pie, which was delicious. And so I was real happy with the way things turned out today. We exchanged a few gifts, and
anything you can share with the listeners? You know?
Well, you know, I got a lot of gift cards, which I'm looking to parlay into other gifts. So it was a pretty short list for me. I'm not one that I'm hard to buy for because I'm pretty. Locked in my ways. That's why I rather go the gift card route because then I can get what I want rather than having to go through a whole process of returning something and, you know, standing in a line and then exchanging that for something else I might not like. Or
before you said the word parlay, you kind of gave me that look where it was kind of, well, I'm looking to, and I thought I was going to hear unload on the black market, you know, or something like that.
No, not quite there, but I do have some things that I want to get, I had some sport, I had a couple of Dick's Sporting Goods things and some other things that I wanted to, they were interested in. I want to get a Fitbit.
Oh, yeah.
My other one
really
kind of blew out, so I want to get a new one. So
that's one of the popular items, a Fitbit, the of course, the hoverboard, the drones, some drones going back and forth. My mom got David a drone. So, I mean, this is what we had a great Christmas. And so we're out at my mom's for Christmas Eve, and this is the first time we've done that. Last year, I did the Christmas show here on WGN as well, and it just made it hard to be all the way out in St. Charles. And
sure.
And then make it all the way back in here. So we did the Christmas Eve thing, and it was great. And it's so cool, you know, as a parent. And I'm sure if anybody wants to share, their Christmas and, you know, what they thought was either the important thing or the thing they really enjoyed, 312-981-7200. So we're out by my mom's on Christmas Eve, and a little later on the program, Dave Pate, you know, created another one of his signature cocktails, which we'll share there. So great. Usually with Bombay Gin, which also makes it great. And then we did the Christmas, like the normal Christmas morning thing. You know, everybody wakes up earlier than they should. And then, you know, there's a bike under the tree. There you go.
Yeah. At Christmas Eve, I've been spending with a friend of mine, Lee Machieski and his family. And I've been doing that for the last probably about 15 years. So we exchange gifts the night before. And then the next day is pretty much, you know, open depending on how we want to handle it. So like I say, today it was good to go visit my dad for a couple hours. And then, be able to spend some time with Dawn this afternoon, and then, you know, we'll have the rest of the weekend since it is Friday, which will be great. So it sounded like you had a good holiday, and that's good to hear.
Yep, it's great to have family around. Of course, if you get a couple presents in the meantime, that's not bad either. It is Christmas night. This is The Download. It's Dane Neal here with you until 11 o'clock on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Christmas. On Christmas night. Does it feel like Christmas, Dino?
You know, it has all day except for the weather. I mean, just look outside, you don't see snow. You see lights all lit up down here. We're in a showcase studio today. You look out at Michigan Avenue, it's well lit up. There's people walking around. And if, you know, the weather would have been inclement, obviously that wouldn't have happened. But, I mean, it's great to see, you know, it being, you know, near 50 degrees today. It was just comfortable to go out and do what you had to do. So
little Eleanor got a bike, and she's like, hey, can I go out and try my bike? And I was like, yeah.
Of course.
Why not? You know, not in traffic, obviously, in the driveway. We'll move the cars, and it'll be fine. But yeah, she was able to go ahead and do that, and that was pretty cool.
She get the training wheels out, or is she full-fledged?
Well, she's in that stage where she can ride it straight. If there's anything in the way, it's going to get hit, and then she ends up, every trip ends with a crash. But, you know, she doesn't need the training wheels.
Yeah, she's got the helmet on. She's well prepared, I'm sure.
Usually you need to have good weather in order to ride a bike, but you can eat bacon in almost any weather out there and excited. This is, and one of the things we can use, 312-981-7200, you can share your favorite things. And this is thousands and thousands of Chicagoans' favorite things is this one event. And I'm excited to have him on the line. Him and his other co-founders, he's always trying to defer some of the glory that he totally deserves. A benevolent dictator of the world of bacon. It's the one and only Bacon Fest founder, Seth Zurer. Welcome to WGN.
Dan, it's a pleasure to be back with you, as always.
As it should be. It is always a pleasure for thousands and thousands of Chicagoans and those who fly in from out of town to be with you as well whenever Bacon Fest rolls around. So I know that, you know, as a guy who's worked on a few golf tournaments and some other events through the years, they always say that, you know, once it ends, the work for the next one starts the next day. I know that you appreciate relaxing. So have you started already? I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We're well into the swing of things. We usually start our restaurant work to get folks signed up in October or November of the year prior. So at this point, we've got about 135 restaurants signed up.
Whoa.
For another 30 or so. But it's a big event with a lot of moving parts. So, yeah, we work hard on it for 6 or 7 months of the year.
What's great about it is all of those moving parts, and, you know, they're equal parts great elevated restaurants, amazing chefs, and of course delicious food. And it is one of those things, you know, having been to it, having been a judge for Bacon Fest, it is a fine line that you walk, because you are walking a line for an event that is a premium event, and I think that's basically said from the get-go. It is a sought-after event, one that sells out on a regular basis, but you have it, you know, there's this kind of element of fun there. There's absolutely no pretension at Bacon Fest.
Yeah, and I think that's always been one of our goals, is that we are guys, just dudes that love bacon, and we love Chicago's restaurant scene, and I think that in a big way, that Bacon Fest experience reflects what we think is amazing about Chicago's restaurant scene, which is that it's this place where people are doing wildly creative stuff in very humble places. I mean, there is sort of very high end restaurant in Chicago. I mean, there's very high end stuff, but then the real bread and butter, so to speak, or the bacon and eggs of the restaurant scene are these sort of, I think, chef driven, casual but elevated. Casual atmosphere, but elevated food. And I think that's what Chicago's sort of become famous for, is this kind of gastropubby, chefy, inventive, casual place where, and that's the kind of place we like to go, and that's the kind of experience we aim for with Bacon Fest.
Those are the captions in quotes on the cover of the manual: gastropubby, chefy, elevated. I mean, you've done that and you've captured it all. Now, you mentioned 130 restaurants so far here as we get towards it's already Christmas, as we get here on Christmas Eve. And so you're going to add another maybe 30 or so. That sounds like a lot of restaurants. Have you decided to add more? You know, is this a certain amount that seems to fit with the time period you have?
Yeah, this is a similar scale as last year. So the way that Bacon Fest works is we do three different sessions over the course of a couple of days. And so this year we'll have a lunch session and a dinner session on Saturday, and then a brunch session on Sunday, which is new for 2016, with bringing bacon back to brunch. And in each of those sessions, you have about 50 or 60 different restaurants, and each restaurant is doing something unique and special with bacon. So you really have a huge array, from very modest, sort of simple restaurants to very sort of haute cuisine, creative, innovative places that are all sort of taking bacon as their raw material to riff on and doing some culinary improvisation on that theme.
Well, and on the beverage side, I mean, you have not left that behind either, because, and you do have that full scope. You've got everything from, you know, maybe a Pabst Blue Ribbon all the way to a very high end bourbon. You know, so you've got a little bit of something, a lot of something great for everyone. So from the restaurant side, let's talk about some of those places that you're excited and that you know people and fans will be excited to hear about.
Sure. I mean, I think that there's a couple of new places that have opened up in the last few months that are signed up, like Wyler Road, as a sort of fancy sandwich place in Logan Square. There's going to be a new place that's sort of a little bit mysterious. There's called the Dearborn. It's going to be a big restaurant in Gallery 37, and they haven't even announced the chef yet. So there's some stuff where we're getting word from restaurants that haven't even opened yet about them wanting to connect with our foodie audience, but we don't have a ton of details about it. But those are going to be the restaurant news stories of tomorrow. That'll be at Bacon Fest doing cool bacon stuff.
Well, and then what? Go on. And then some of the kind of like awesome, just, you know, established standards that people know, love, and expect.
Yeah, for sure. So like folks like Takashi Yagiyashi from Slipping Turtle, who used to have a Michelin starred restaurant, he'll be there again. And last year he won a Golden Rasher for his bacon chawanmushi. So Golden Rasher, first of all, is our prize that we give for creativity in the bacon arts to the chef.
Seth, would you consider it to be the highest honor that you can bestow?
I mean, it is for sure within my power the highest honor that I can give. And I think that it's an honor that the chefs hold very near and dear to their hearts. You see, we don't give out a cash prize. We don't give out a lot of other stuff. But what the chefs who win our prize get is a 4-inch-tall pewter pig figurine with their name on the front. And, you know, if you go into places like Longman and Eagle or other restaurants that have won the Golden Rasher, you'll see it sitting on the bar. People are very proud to have those bragging rights that they were the top, most creative bacon dish for the year at Bacon Fest, for sure. And so we give, so just an example of the kind of food you're going to see, this dish that Takashi did last year was a Japanese egg custard, but he basically did eggs. He sort of took eggs and bacon as his baseline and then riffed into the world of sort of home-style Japanese cooking. So it had egg custard, it had bacon fat on top, it had chunks of Moose Goose bacon in it, it had, I think, some flavors of springtime because our event's in April, so asparagus and, like, fava beans, and it was just like when it all came together, it was this tiny cup of this umami bomb of flavor, all anchored by bacon and all tasty and delicious. And that's the kind of thing that you'll see our chefs do. They go crazy and they really use bacon as a way to express themselves and express their identities.
Yeah, you will see things like that where bacon is this like super not so secret and amazing ingredient in some incredible concoction to things that are a little more straightforward. You know, you'll see like people's takes on like, you know, just bacon in general or chocolate covered bacon or just sliders with bacon. I mean, things that are more just straightforward, bacon forward. And then some of these things where you see amazing award winning chefs just kind of getting crazy with it on the creativity.
For sure. And that's what's fun for us is every year we discover something new and we see something new, whether it's something that's highfalutin or something that's very simple. It just reminds us the versatility of bacon as an ingredient.
The versatility of bacon as an ingredient. As if they're, it's so crazy because I guess it is, it's versatile. And it has also been this kind of touchstone for so many chefs. Are you surprised at, because now I think at this point, this many years into it, where you have just, you know, new restaurants come out, they want to participate. Chefs come over, they want to participate. You're not giving any money, so there's no monetary incentive for people to get involved. But just that bacon seems to be this universal language of awesome that that everyone wants to speak.
Yeah, I mean, the chefs come basically because they want to have fun at Bacon Fest. They know it's going to be a fun event. They want to try their fellow chefs' dishes. I think there's a certain class of chefs that's interested in the competitive aspect. And then we also make a big donation every year to the Greater Chicago Food Depository. So that's, I think, another important reason why chefs come to do the event. Is they know that last year we gave $75,000 to the food bank. And so it's going to be one of those things where they can have fun, go to a fun event, see their friends who they don't see because they're in the kitchen every weekend night of the year, and taste something tasty and support a food bank.
Yep.
So it works for them, works for us.
As you take so much valuable real estate in stomachs of bacon fans on that day, you do give back to the Greater Chicago Food Depository. That is great. So for people who want to participate and they've got to, you know, get locked and loaded, have you gone to a lottery system now, or will still people be able to kind of log in and get tickets once they're available?
We haven't done the lottery system yet. We didn't sign up with Nick Kokonis for talk tickets yet. We have tickets are available online. We did this year an early bird discounted ticket sale for folks that wanted to buy tickets at the beginning of December, and those early bird tickets sold out in about 3 minutes. So there was a limited number of those available. People snapped them up because they knew that they think this is a good deal. But if people want to sign up now, they can go to baconfestchicago.com. VIP tickets are currently on sale. Those are $200 apiece and get you early access, a full hour of early access with the chefs in the Great Hall of Bacon.
It is worth it, people.
Just a couple hundred people in the room.
Yep, absolutely. It is worth it. I mean, it's worth it no matter how you can experience Bacon Fest, but that is something that I think is a true experience. If you're excited about it at all, look into that. It's the VIP.
Yeah, to have the means, it's worthwhile. And then the regular price general admission tickets will go on sale in February, again, through our website, through baconfestchicago.com. It's been a hot ticket for this, our eighth year coming up. So it's been a hot ticket for all those years. We sold out basically every year, so that's good. If you want to go, they should hop on it. Come see us at Bacon Fest, April 30th and May 1st.
BaconFestChicago.com is a place to go to get those tickets. And, of course, keep posted for some of those VIP tickets that are going to be out there and in limited numbers. It is an amazing event. I look forward to being there to helping to judge some of it this year. And, of course, Seth, we're going to have you on a number of times and in all sorts of different incarnations before the event actually takes place. But thanks for joining us from Wichita, Kansas. Now, are you scoping out the newest Bacon Fest location? Are they calling for it?
They do have a Bacon Fest here already. They do it in a soccer stadium. So we're going to focus on Chicago. I'm just here for a short trip.
Bless you, man. Yeah, keep your focus on Chicago. We need to keep Bacon Fest at the levels that we know and appreciate. And thanks again so much for being on WGN.
My pleasure, Dan. Next time I'll bring snacks.
Stay tuned for Bacon Fest coming up. It is certainly one of our favorite things. We're going to take a break, but stay tuned. We've got John Taffer from Bar Rescue coming up, J.D. Scott from Property Brothers at Home on HGTV, and coming up right after the break, we've got Bombay Sapphire, Dave Pates, Pomegranate Fizz Drink. It's Dane Dino Tiberi in studio. It's The Download, 720 WGN. I kind of like this song, so.
Yeah, that's my cousin Mariah.
Mariah Carey. Oh, that's right, Eric Carey.
Boy, oh boy.
I get it. 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio. See, I love the Christmas music. I didn't get to hear enough of it. I mean, I think I'm obligated, of course, to listen only to WGN. And we don't play as much music. Of course, we're constantly and consistently kind of sharing things in more of a talk format than a music format. But Christmas music is one of those things that people look forward to all year. They love their certain songs. And we talked a little bit about it earlier in the program. And, of course, we talked about it during the break, is that people love those Christmas movies. You know, they love those famous Christmas movies. It's cool. Here at WGN, every year we have, at least for the last few years, we have done kind of a radio play. You know, we did a Christmas Carol Hankner, right? We did It's a Wonderful Life. We did Miracle on Jerry Wells Street.
Yeah, I just heard that the other day. It was fantastic.
It is incredible fun. And I heard Bill and Wendy had her on this year, and of course, she was actually participating in the play. Is I think it's like Carolyn Grimes is Zuzu.
Yeah, the one right from It's a Wonderful Life.
But that's one of those classics. And if people want to share their thoughts on their favorite Christmas movies, the ones that they look forward to, I think you can nowadays almost everything is on demand. You know, you can pretty much watch anything that you want with Netflix and things like that. But there's certain, you know, movies that people look forward to, like eggnog, right? You could probably have eggnog whenever, but you enjoy it more during the holiday time. So we had a texter in from the 606. Rudolph was the very first color TV show, and boy, was it in color, right?
Yeah.
Vibrant shades of muted red and stuffed animals and all that kind of stuff. First TV show in 1964, fascinated by it. So, Dino, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
I have to believe that It's a Wonderful Life's right at the top of my list. I've always enjoyed that movie. I think I mentioned the last time we were on the air, I watched in the past at the Music Box Theater, They usually have a run of that show along with White Christmas right before, you know, the week or prior to Christmas. So we used to always go to dinner beforehand, and then we would go to the theater and watch It's a Wonderful Life. And the crowd, it's an interactive type thing where the crowd does certain things. Like when Mr. Potter comes in, the fans all hiss like a snake. And, you know, there's all different things that go on. There's a Santa Claus in the beginning running around throwing candy out. But that, to me, that's epitomize. I really enjoy watching that at Christmas time, you know, every year.
When you just said the Santa running around throwing candy, I imagined like a Rip Taylor
throwing around confetti and candy, right?
Exactly. Yeah, a texter from the 847 said the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is one of their favorite. That's more of a current movie. It isn't right. One of those kind of older classics. It certainly isn't new, but it's
been around a while. I haven't watched it in a few years, but there are some parts in that movie that were entertaining. I have to watch it again probably to start to finish to really get into it. But to me, that one, I mean, White Christmas is a classic. I watched Scrooge the other night with Bill Murray. You know, that was the first time I'd seen that in a while. And, of course, he's got a new one out this year that's on Netflix. That's a very Murray Christmas, it's called. And I do want to see that. I haven't seen that one yet.
Is that him with his brother?
I don't.
Family members?
I think there's probably a few of them in there. Like in Scrooge, there were a couple of his brothers were in that right. movie. I'm sure he's got one or two of them in this one. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I've seen the previews for it, and like George Clooney's in it, and there's a pretty good cast. So it'd be interesting to see how that one comes out. But you know, those are a couple classics. Obviously, Miracle on 34th Street, Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Yeah, I mean,
now does that qualify? I guess it is, right? It does qualify as a Christmas movie. There's Christmas songs within the movie. You know, because you think of it more of as a kind of a like a hostage. Who's held hostage? Either it's those two guys, right, or the little kid. But yeah, I guess it takes place during Christmas. So it is kind of a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it ends up being Christmas. I know in the second one, they ended up in New York at the end of the movie. And Joe Pesci was one of the people that was involved in that movie. Some interesting casting in that one. But I enjoyed both of those movies. And, you know, Home Alone and then... you know, A Christmas Story, of course, that's one now that, you know, I've watched that one over and over again for years, too. So, and we talked about the putting an eye out part of the movie earlier tonight. So, but, you know, those are a few on my list.
So what are the essential ingredients to a successful Christmas movie? Because it kind of runs the gamut. You know, you've got some of the kind of older, more traditional. Usually there's kind of this coming together and appreciating family, or else it's just like crazy, you know, slapstick humor or violence, right?
Yeah, you know, and some people think that Die Hard's a Christmas movie, and there's plenty of violence in that movie. But to me, I think the family theme, you know, things that are involved that you would normally have in Christmas, to me, would, you know, be one of those types of movies. I mean, Christmas Story and It's a Wonderful Life, you know, obviously there's, you know, Christmas themes through that movie as well. And then, you know, finally at the end, or, you know, in those movies, they, you know, you get to you come to a conclusion there, and then it's usually a good one. So it's one of those things that makes you feel good. I think that's probably, to me, that would be one of those things that constitutes a good Christmas movie.
People are sharing in the text some of the things that they appreciate about Christmas, whether it's family, whether it's some of the gifts that they got, whether it is just the ability to, maybe some of the nice weather, maybe some of the movies, some of the things, those kind of the accoutrements that, you know, they go along with Christmas, whether it's the music, whether it's the movies. One of the things that I love about the holiday season is my stepdad makes like the most amazing Bombay Sapphire cocktails, but only seasonal and, of course, in moderation, right? But they're great. And he came up with a new one who's in kind of the cocktail research and development zone. And he's got the new one, which is the Bombay Sapphire Dave Pate Pomegranate Fizz. So it's got, you know, all the Bombay Sapphire that you would normally want. It's a gin. It's a good gin. And then you've got pomegranate, which is actually sort of good for you. Right.
Wow. Who knew?
Right. Right. So you add a little bit of there. It takes care of anything that isn't. So here's what it is. It's 50-50 Bombay gin and pure pomegranate juice. You squeeze it half to three quarters of lime juice. You got some Diet 7-Up in there to taste. That gives you the fizz, a third can or more, just depending on how fizzy you definitely want it. Then you garnish with a thin slice of lime to float, and then a half a teaspoon of pomegranate seeds. Stir over ice, strain, and then you pour it up in a traditional martini glass, and you've got yourself some
liquid goodness right there.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
When it comes to liquid goodness, a guy that helps businesses do that on a more professional basis, you know, we just enjoy these at home. We're going to be talking with John Taffer a little bit after this break when we when we go to break here.
I look forward to hearing that. That's going to be good.
It is Christmas night. It is The Download. It is Dane Neal on 720 WGN. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Just fun music.
This will get you going. This will put a pep in your step right here.
720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Christmas. In during The Download until 11 o'clock. I've got Dino Tiberi here as well, wearing a festive Christmas hat. I've got one too. I've got to go ahead and put it on. One of the ways that that listeners are participating in today, of course, they're sharing, you know, their Christmas thoughts, what they got, what they appreciate, some of their favorite things, which we're doing with some of the guests, and we hit on the movies, and we've got 773 Bad Santa is a great classic for cynics and short people. So true. That is a very entertaining movie, but it is kind of edgy.
Well, there's no question about that, and there is a certain element of taking it the other way on that one, for sure.
You love it, too, when you've got all the things you know and love about Christmas and, you know, all the heartwarming family elements and, you know, just all the spirit, right, of the season. But if you can add a few laughs in there, that's great. The 606 says, Surviving Christmas with James Gandolfini and Ben Affleck is hilarious. Those guys don't work together. Well, they won't work together anymore. But that just seems like, right?
Kind of an odd pairing there gangster, for a Christmas movie.
And then, yeah, so if you've got any thoughts on your favorite movie, definitely share it with us. You'll be entered to get our Christmas prize here today, 312-981-7200. We've got Eric, who is on the line. He's got some thoughts on some Christmas movies. Eric, welcome to WGN.
Thanks a lot, guys. Maybe I missed these two movies, and these go way back when. Maybe it's just, you know, things are different these days. But they used to show the American version of A Christmas Carol and the English version of The Christmas Carol every year, like clockwork. And the American version was in 1938, and the English version was with Alistair Sim. It came out in the early 50s. And I don't see that anymore, and I'm really surprised.
You know what, Eric? I was not aware, you know, because when I think of A Christmas Carol, the classic, you know, with Tiny yeah. Tim and all that, that's the only one I think of. I didn't know there was an American version.
Oh, yeah, they did all the time. So maybe it's just a sign of the times. That's very possible. No, the American version was with Reginald Owens, and I think it came out in 1938. You know, I mean, we're talking way back when. So, you know, as time goes on, things just, you know, change. They probably want to play more current stuff, you know. You know, Nick at Night would talk about these at times.
Nick at Night. Okay. So now, are there any other suggestions that you have, like, on a, you know, those are some of the, like, your very, very, those are almost like the original. It was kind of the beginning of filmmaking, kind of,
black,
right?
Black and white, right.
Yeah. Like, so Eric, are there any other movies that you guys like throughout the course of the holiday season?
There's one movie that's really good, but it's out of print. I know you can find it somewhere where maybe it's on demand, or say it's called The Cheaters. It came out. And it's a real good movie about this guy that stays with these rich relatives or these rich friends, and they eventually towards the end they kind of find out what the Christmas is really all about. But that's a movie that used to show all the time. You don't see that anymore. So you know, you're probably, you know, it's more of a new generation. That's about all I can say, really. You know, I'm in my 50s, so, you know, as time goes on, things change. So
Eric, but we let you go, we're letting people kind of share what it is that they got. Did you get anything for Christmas that you wanted? Did you get a drone by chance?
No, not really. No, that's a little bit after my time, you know. So kind of, you know. So right. No, I can't say that I did.
Was there anything that stood out, Eric, this year for you? I mean, as far as your family was all together, or were you just...
No, I got a couple of presents from friends, you know. I think Christmas is kind of for kids. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, he's getting a little older, but no, I got the Christmas CD of the Christmas, what is it, the Phil Spector Christmas CD, which is really good. You hear that music played all a lot during the season. Matter of fact, you know, they take bits and pieces of it. So
nice.
That was really good.
So you know. Don't think like that, Eric, because, you know, Christmas is for all of us people that aren't kids anymore, too. And thanks so much for sharing your thoughts and your movies on WGN.
Yeah, definitely check out those movies. They're really good, though. So.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot. Nice talking to you.
Talk to you soon. Yep. So, I mean,
I didn't know there were two versions of an English and an American version of it. That's interesting.
708 just texted in, Happy Festivus for the rest of us. Gotta love the Costanza's favorite holiday.
Well, the feats of strength, the airing of grievances. It's a Seinfeld classic, Dane.
It is. 312-981-7200 if you want to share your thoughts. You can share what it is that you're thankful for, maybe some of the things that you've gotten. I was thinking that we'd have more drones. You know, maybe the drones aren't...
maybe they're not picking... I see a lot of them on shelves. People haven't been picking them up. I don't know what the... I haven't really seen. I mean, do you see them in the air? If I went out and looked out right now, or tomorrow morning, would I see them flying around? I don't know. And I hear people that have been buying them, but I don't really see them anywhere.
Well, that's the key, right? They're supposed to be
hidden. You can't tell where they're coming from.
They're supposed to be kind of sneaking up on you, as far as the drones. You know, where they're, you know, they're in the sky. They're going to be hovering over your house. They're going to be paying attention to what it is that. That you want to do, you know, right. I mean, that's what it is that they're going to do. We've got Sarah on the line. Sarah, welcome to WGN. You got a movie for us?
Oh, I'm watching the most classic movies of all. I'm currently watching Holiday Inn, which was the first time that Bing Crosby sang White Christmas. He sang it in Holiday Inn, and then he sang it again in White Christmas. And I watched Christmas in Connecticut. And those are all three classic old movies, but you can't really get through Christmas without watching White Christmas, or Holiday Inn is the first movie that Bing Crosby sang White Christmas, the song in.
You know, Bing Crosby, and, of course, you know, he, White Christmas, he's so known for that, but he's one of those guys that just comes across as like a Christmas guy, right? I mean,
His music and the movies he was in, absolutely.
Two movies, Holiday Inn, was made back in the 40s, and he actually sang the song White Christmas in that movie. I could play it for you if you want to hear it.
What, was Rosemary Clooney in that movie? Was she in one of the movies with him?
Rosemary Clooney was in White Christmas.
That's right. Okay, I got those two confused.
But Fred Astaire plus Bing Crosby were in Holiday Inn. And then
Was Holiday Inn about the, which came first, like a chicken egg thing with that? Did the hotel
Holiday
come
Inn
first?
Okay. Holiday Inn was made in the 40s, and then White Christmas I think was made in 1952, and Bing Crosby sang White Christmas in both of the movies. Rosemary Clooney was in with Danny Kaye, which was a hysterical movie. With Danny Kaye was very funny in that one, but this one was with Fred Astaire. Holiday Inn was with Fred Astaire and Bing Crosby, and somebody named Marjorie Main, I believe her name was, but. Bing Crosby first sang
White Christmas
White
in that
Christmas
movie
in Holiday Inn, and then of course in 1952 they made White Christmas, and of course that was the more famous one with Rosemary Clooney, and they sang White Christmas again. But and then I watched Christmas in Connecticut with Barbara Stanwyck and some other famous stars, and that was also a classic movie. So
wow.
I like the classics, and I couldn't get It's a Wonderful Life. I love to watch It's a Wonderful Life. I want to rent that one from my rental store, and of course, Elf, you know.
Yeah, that was on before I left today to come down.
No,
here.
But Sarah, I love to hear that, and as we let you go, but I love to hear that whole range there. You know, some of those classics that have kind of gone by the wayside as far as just public consciousness,
no,
and then
You can't raise your children without showing them these movies.
I'm going to do it.
I don't care whether they're Christmas or Hanukkah. You have to see these movies.
I think as long as you get past the black and white thing, you know, the color in that movie, if you explain, the movies were like this first, and then they became color movies after that.
Yep.
Well, I think you can get some colorized versions of this, but the old movies are so much better. They just had better stories. And Irving Berlin wrote all this fabulous music for this movie, and they just don't write music like they used to. And anyway, I just really like the classic movies for Christmas time.
Well, I appreciate you sharing them with us, too, because we're going to put those on the list, and we're definitely going to get those because our kids love to see them as well. So
thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing. We appreciate it. And of course, 312-981-7200. If you have a movie a Christmas movie that you want to share with us, definitely do that. And for the callers that are on hold, stay on hold. We're going to get right to you right after this break. It's Daniel in for the download until 11 on 720 WGN.
Yeah, you hear the wind, but there's no snow blowing around these at this time.
720 WGN, it is Dane Neal in for the download until 11 on the magical night of Christmas. And it's so great to have the listeners of WGN sharing their thoughts on Christmas and, of course, Christmas movies. You know, people love to be able to experience some of those. And we've got little kids, and so they're watching, you know, Frosty the Snowman. They're sure. The original, right?
The
original, it's happy birthday, right? and the original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But there's so many movies out there, and we've had some texters and some calls come in for some of these. And I appreciate it because these are the kind of movies, not all of them are It's a Wonderful Life, things that you know, you just see on every channel and they're on every few minutes, but these are classics and we want to be able to share them too. And my mom actually texted in that Henry Winkler did a Christmas Carol with Henry Winkler, which...
Oh, I wasn't aware. Was Potsy in that?
No. Ralph Mel was. He was Tiny Tim, which
excellent.
Was tough because they had to pick him up. on the line with us, we've got Mary, and she's got one of the movies that she wants to share with us. Mary, welcome to WGN. Marianne, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Marianne.
Are you there?
Yep.
We're here. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. It's called 11 Drop Kids with Bob Hope.
And so what was in it? Lemon Drop, of course, is, you know, an iconic candy with Bob Hope. Was it a Christmas movie?
Yes, it was. The Lemon Drop Kid was, he was a petty thief and, you know, con man. And he and a group of his con man friends decided they're going to raise a bunch of money by doing a big con on a bunch of old ladies, and they ran a benefit to open up a home for old dames, was the name of the place.
You know what? I'm surprised at the kind of the broad range of the topics that that Christmas movies kind of take on, right? Kidnap situation.
Crime in that movie, if I remember
you
right.
Some criminal elements. You've done Die Hard. You got some explosions. You got all of those. Well, Marianne, thanks so much for sharing, and we'll definitely check out Lemon Drop Kid.
To put that one in the library.
All right, thanks so much. And then, of course, we've got Robert from the 815 calling us from all the way either south or west of the city. Robert, you got a movie for us?
Yes, We're No Angels.
Oh, we're not, believe me. But anyway, was that a movie?
Yeah, Humphrey Bogart, Aldo Ray, Peter Ustinov, Basil Rathbone, Leo G. Carroll, a wonderful Christmas movie about three escapees from a prison island.
What's with back to crime again? Somehow that's worked into the movie.
Yeah, somehow. And just a wonderful movie to watch. I mean, great actors. And another movie that I've enjoyed for years and years is it's called A Child's Christmas in Wales. And it's by it's a Dylan Thomas poem. And years ago, the actor Denholm Elliott starred in the movie as he was the narrator, and it's a wonderful, touching movie as well.
So, Robert, when you think of some of the movies, and this is so great that the listeners have called in 312-981-7200 to share some of your favorite holiday movies, and they kind of just, you know, certainly they span the decades, but then also just the topics alone. I mean, so what is it that you think is the essential ingredient that you need to have to be a great Christmas movie?
I enjoy all genres of the movies, the Christmas movies, but I really couldn't say. I just enjoy them all, no matter what they are, from Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to any of the others. They're just wonderful.
So, Robert, today, did you happen to, and I know we've asked a couple of people, did you happen to get a drone?
No, but I bought one for my grandson.
Ah, there it is. We knew we were going to hit one that was involved in that. That's excellent.
Now, is it one of the ones with the camera in it? Because that's kind of cool, right? Where you can take sort of these you know, kind of high level photographs of the area.
No, he's only 10 years old, and this is just one that picked up at the local toy store. It's nothing like that. Nothing that fancy.
Okay.
Fly it around the house or just outside in the backyard, and that's about it, huh?
Well, it says it's okay for the inside. I'll find out later from my son if that was true. But.
As long as nothing got broken, right?
Yeah, Robert, hide the Ming vase. All right, Robert, exactly. Thanks so much for sharing, and thanks for being on WGN.
All Thank you. Merry Christmas,
guys. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. So that's nice to see where you get some of these movies. You know, you get a Basil Rathbone, a Humphrey Bogart.
Sure.
You got to figure
those are some A-listers in that movie.
That there were Christmas movies, you know, probably in every time period there. It's kind of a common theme. I'm a little, I don't know about surprised, but I guess I am surprised that there's a lot of these, you know, like prison breaks, escapes,
kidnapping. Yeah, I didn't realize there was that much crime involved. The Bob Hope movie, it looked like he had a whole syndicate working with him on that one. He went out on the street posing as Santa Claus and ended up getting donations, and a cop recognized him, and he got in trouble, and it was just a mess.
The 309, Harry Potter is a real jerk in It's a Wonderful Life. I was not aware he was in that, unless that's
I don't think it was Harry Potter. I was just Mr. Potter, if I remember right. He was the guy that was collecting the money. That was he was the adversary of George Bailey in that movie. But so it wasn't really. I don't think it was Harry Potter.
What was his first name? What was Mr.? Because he was always just known as Mr. Potter. He was like permanently and eternally old. Like he had, even when he was 8 years old, he was.
He was very bitter, very bitter guy. Man. Yep. Hurry up! They're waiting for you. You know, it's George. I have to look that up and figure out what his. I don't remember what his first name is. Now that you mention that, I'm not really sure.
Something crazy. And then Bad Santa's got another, so Billy Bob Thornton is one of those guys that's kind of moving up the list. I don't know, Basil Rathbone, Billy Bob Thornton.
Well, there was crime in both of those movies, so why not? I guess that seems to be it was just weird that was like back-to-back movies like that had crime involved in them.
Yeah.
You know, going bad and then turning back to good.
Well, redeeming yourself, right? Coming back and then making good, you know, becoming, you know, catching the Christmas spirit, right? Just kind of reconnecting with family and then enjoying Christmas. I think that's what it's all about. 312-981-7200 to add your thoughts on your Christmas. And you can go ahead and share your favorite movie with as well. When we come back, I don't know if they've ever done a Christmas movie inside of a bar. Well, no. In It's a Wonderful Life in Martini's.
Martini's Bar. Yeah, there was a good scene in that one.
Maybe we'll ask them about it. We're going to have John Taffer from Bar Rescue on with us in just a little bit. It's Dane Neal in for the download till 11 on 720 WGN.
It's all cold down along the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk. Hey, man! Hey, man! You guys know what time of year it is? What time, huh?
It's the boss.
720 WGN, it is Dane in for the download. You know, with these bumpers, normally bumpers are just, they're just kind of music to get you in, that kind of stuff, but it's
right.
The holiday time of year, and so you enjoy hearing, you almost want to just wait and let the whole
play through, right?
The whole thing play out. Yeah, the boss, nobody puts the boss in the corner.
That's right.
Nobody does that. You know what, in 312-981-7200, for those people that are on hold, stay on hold, and if you wanted to share your favorite Christmas movie suggestion, definitely do that. You can also text in that same number, 312-981-7200. And of course, we've had a few suggestions for Bad Santa, right? You know, and so I think that, you know, maybe our next caller would be. Sometimes he's got a bad side, right? But usually it's for a higher purpose. And but on a regular basis, he is dispensing tough love, guidance, and hit TV. And he's joining us now. It is a Bar Rescue star from Spike, the one and only John Taffer. Welcome to WGN.
Great to be back on WGN, Dan. I love WGN.
Well, you should, and WGN loves you, and also the bar community of Chicago loves you too. You've been at some places around here in Chicago. So as you travel the country, making the show, creating entertainment for people, are there some cities that you like more than others? Either because your ability to help more places with more problems, or because you just love the way they do things?
Well, I got to say, and I'm not saying it because we're in Chicago. Chicago is one. I used to live in Naperville. My original company was out in Naperville on Butterfield Road. My daughter was born in Naperville. So, Chicago has been very, very important to me and is one of my favorite places to work in.
Are you serious?
Actually,
so you have some serious Chicago connections. We've got to get you out to Wrigley Field to maybe throw one of those first pitches out. Maybe you can help, because there's certainly a lot of bars down there. Don't know if they're struggling these days with the Cubs doing well, but they'd love to see you.
They would. You know, they're used to a lot of depression in those bars over the years. It's nice to see that they were smiling this year.
You know what? I love that you said that, John, because that is one of the things that you do. From a business standpoint, you want everything to be successful. You want them to run a good business. You want to address some of the needs and some of the deficiencies. But you do handle, on a regular basis, kind of that human side of the people in those businesses.
I do. do. And, you know, you look at the Cubs, that's a unique business. You know, it's a business that hasn't won a lot of games over the past few years, but they sell tickets at a phenomenal rate. So it's quite successful in very many ways, even though they might not be hitting the ball enough.
They do, right. They're in the business of disappointment, and businesses has it has been good for the last 108 years, but things are looking up. So hopefully that will happen there, as it does in places all around the country for Bar Rescue. What I love about it is you're there kind of as this overarching guiding force, a little bit of tough love right at the end. Everybody hugs and everyone's happy. But usually there's some struggles along the way.
Oh, there are, you know, and this is personal to these people, you know, to them, to me, it's a wall. To them, it's some personal creation. And I'll rip the damn wall down in a minute if it's going to make us more money. And, you know, they protect failure. And it's astonishing. And Bar Rescue, there's independent websites to track it. And there are, Dane, we track about a 75 to 80% success factor.
Wow.
So we do really, really well. And that's independent. We do really well as a show. So we're good at what we do. It's remarkable to me that they fight me as much as they do. That's why I have to fight them back, though. I have to win. I'm the one who has to get them to change. They're not the one who has to get me to change.
One of the things that you're doing is winning in the ratings spike. It is the highest rated show, Bar Rescue, on Spike. And so I know that there's so many people who watch the show that are in and around the hospitality, in and around the bar business. So do you ever think about that? Is it some of the lessons that you're teaching and that those people are learning on that particular episode, people are learning? And do you get feedback that, hey, we learned about this, we fixed our own business because we watched Bar Rescue?
I do, and it's a huge inspiration to me, Ben. I get probably 150, 200 emails a month. You know, John, I own a bar, you know, in Peoria, and you've really changed my, you know, life, and you've turned it around. And I can't tell you how good that stuff feels. You know, it's interesting. At the end of every episode, two things happen. I get a hug, and I'm given a check. And honestly, at this stage, the hug is more important than the check, to be honest with you.
Oh, don't
and
say
that's
that.
An interesting thing. No, I mean it, man. I do. It's become a very powerful thing for me. And the fact that I can go into these places and change these people's lives and put them on a different projectile is a very cool thing.
Well, as your momentary representative on the media side, I would say keep all of that personal satisfaction to yourself and just and just wait for the check.
Go for the check.
But it's not all you. This is another cool thing about the program is every week you put together kind of this dream team to get in there and tackle that specific issue. You know, Russell Davis, we know. Tiffany Derry, we know.
Yep.
Duffy, we know. Now, do you, like, when you go into a place, do you assess the situation and see, like, which, you know, restaurant and cocktail superhero would be necessary? Or do you just bring a different team, try to get new personalities involved?
Well, it's a combination of both. Sometimes I have the luxury of knowing in advance. But here's the thing about Bar Rescue. I've never been in these bars before. I've never met these people before. When I walk in for recon, it is real. I've never been there. And here's the secret. When recon ends and we turn the cameras off the first night, I go in and design the bar then. So I'm not even sure what I'm building till that night. So it's hard for me to assign the mixologist ahead of time. So I have a collection of personalities and people that are good, that have a broadness of knowledge that we can use. Sometimes I sense that I can plug certain people into certain places. Most of the time, I don't have that luxury.
We've got a new season coming up, and so people are going to enjoy even more Bar Rescue. So let's talk about that as far as the success of the show. I mean, are you surprised? It is what you do and do at a high level, but are you surprised that America loves it so much?
I am. Honestly, I thought I'd do a pilot and go home. And then I thought I'd do season one and go home. Season one was 10 episodes. Season two was 10 episodes. Season three was 40 episodes. And season four is 50 episodes.
that's too many episodes. Remember, always say get the check. And then, you know, hugs. If that happens, that's just icing on the cake.
And the network just picked up season five.
Nice.
So we're going to go to 132 episodes, and then we'll reassess it then. But in my type of a television show, that's a big number. I'm very proud of that.
Well, people love you. They watch the show. But then you mentioned you get emails from all over the place, people looking for input to say hi, to get some advice. And you're big on social media. So for the listeners, and before we let you go, let people know how they can keep track of John Taffer and everything you're doing.
JohnTaffer.com, JONTaffer.com, and John Taffer on Twitter and John Taffer on Facebook. It's easy. All the links are on my website.
Well, John, we love what you're doing, and America Agrees. It is Bar Rescue on the Spike Channel. Keep up all the great work, and thanks so much for being on WGN.
My pleasure. Look forward to talking next time, Dave.
All right, thanks, John. And we are going to take a break in just a second, but go ahead. It is Christmas night here on WGN, and people are texting in and calling in with their favorite holiday movies. And I'm surprised a lot of these movies, you know, sometimes it just happens to be a movie. It's a murder mystery or a romantic comedy. It just happens to be happening during Christmas. And we've got a few more different suggestions coming in. Surviving Christmas is one that Lionel Barrymore played Scrooge in a lot of the old time radio shows. And Lionel Barrymore, of course, was the actor, but Harry Potter was not his real name. What was his real name?
It was Henry Potter.
Henry Potter.
Yeah. Just a little close to Harry.
312-981-7200 to add your thoughts. Definitely call in and get in line. We're going to be able to take those calls in just a second when we take a break. It is Dane Neal in on the download until 11 on 720 WGN. Seven twenty WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Christmas. Christmas night, and Christmas doesn't stop. So for everybody who enters or calls in and shares their Christmas memory, their Christmas thought, divulges whether they're one of the new and proud owners of a drone, 312-981-7200, or shares their favorite Christmas movie or favorite Christmas personality, you can go ahead and do that. People have done a ton of that, and we love it. So don't hesitate to go ahead and call. And you'll be entered to win a wellness mat. We've got a 2x3 wellness mat. This is the state of the art. I said it was the Rolls Royce of
wellness mats.
Of kitchen mats in the past, yeah. And then an Ergo Chef knife. You can choose any. Go to ErgoChef.com. Look on that site. Let us know which one it is that you think you might want that's open to you. And, of course, classic cinemas. And, you know, maybe if there's a brand new cool Christmas movie coming out, you can go ahead and see that. We're hearing about so many great ones from the past, including... I guess some people from the past. Now, I wasn't sure if this person was still with us on the, it was Carol Channing. Is welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. This is Carol Channing Jr. I just wanted to say Merry Christmas to everyone in Chicago. Gosh, it's just a wonderful time of year, isn't it, guys?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful day here, Carol. Where are you calling from?
Right now, I'm down in Dallas, Texas. There's a lot of diamonds down there, so I needed to shine with them. Oh. So I just thought I'd be coming up for Christmas. I wasn't up in Chicago, but I went to see a movie, and I really liked it.
What was that? What was the movie you went to go see?
It was The Hateful Three. It was really good. It was one of my favorite movies I've ever seen on Christmas.
All right. Okay, well, it's good to see that Carol Channing not only out there making some memorable entertainment, but also kind of intaking some entertainment, too. Well, Carol, thanks so much for being on WGN.
Yeah, and diamonds are still a girl's best friend.
And a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Right, Carol. I wasn't sure Carol Channing. Sometimes, you know, when your career maybe isn't as high profile as it was before, you just want to get out there and
get your name back out there and remind people that you're still going.
Call in and say that you're enjoying some of those movies out there. Well, one thing that people are enjoying on a regular basis all over Chicagoland, and this is one of our favorite things, this is one of my absolute favorite things, is the cannolis from Lezza, and excited to be able to share on this holiday, having the one and only Ed Lezza. Ed, welcome to WGN.
Hello, Dan. How are you? Great speaking with you. How's everything going?
How was your Christmas? First off, did you get that drone you were asking for?
Yes, I did.
And you're going to use it to deliver cannolis.
Yes, I am. Each and every person that wants a dozen and a baker's dozen or better.
Finally putting good good technology and kind of Christmas trends to good use with the drones for the cannolis. Well, let's talk about it. So why is it on Christmas, you know, I'm so thankful for it, and I'm sure I am not alone. I'm sure thousands and thousands of people all around the country are thinking the same thing, especially when they hear you. So what is it that makes Lezza Cannolis so great?
It's a very unique cannoli shell. It's the best. I mean, it's a heck of a lot better tasting than a fruitcake, and it's better than a turtle dove.
So I know that the family has been doing it for a long time. I have been sharing and talking about Lezza cannolis for at least 15 years. And so I know that the company has a great history. So when did this all start?
This all started and created by my great-grandfather in 1905.
Now, did he know that he was onto something big like this?
I think so. He knew it from the inception, you know, just like those Tyco commercials today say, you know, in 75 years, we're going to know this. We all know what's coming up, you know. But the bottom line is we have a family history and a tradition, and it's just about keeping the customer first, keeping your quality up and keeping your customer service up, and that's all. I mean, those two ingredients mixed together, quality and customer service, the customer will bulk a little bit at the price, but in the end, you know he's going to get the quality product and the quality service. What more could you ask?
You just did a little thing that they say in the business called price conditioning. Say, you know what, it's going to be a little expensive, so get ready for that, but it's going to be worth it.
Exactly.
Now, when it comes to a family history and making cannolis for such a long time right there in Bellwood, that's where the factory is. And you've had some pretty famous people that have loved them. So we're not alone, obviously, you and I, in our love for Lezza cannolis. But, like, can you believe, like, Frank Sinatra actually would stop in and get them?
That is correct. That was a little bit before my time. But, yeah, he used to come in all the time and stop on the way to the airport to get his cannolis for his trip wherever he had to go.
That's crazy. Now, when you first heard that as a very young child, because of course you're very youthful, did you think that was just a story, or do you remember that firsthand? Like, what kind of impact?
No, I remember it firsthand. I got the gist of it, you know, from my grandfather, rest his soul. But he gave us the lowdown of it.
Well, you know, anything that Frank Sinatra likes, at least on the food side, right? We can't go for everything.
Exactly.
But at least on the food side, he definitely had his taste buds in the right place. And so
we had a dessert arena covered in his standards.
Right, not everything. You can't handle it all. But a company that's got a long history, you've got to have great individuals, great family members throughout the years to kind of take that torch and bring it to a new level. I was excited, and we brought it here to the station on WGN. Of course, such a long time there, providing cannolis to great restaurants and hotels all around the Chicagoland area. And, of course, right there in Bellwood with the store and with the factory. But then you brought it to a new level, new heights, when you opened up that new place in Elmhurst. It's going gangbusters.
Yeah, that's correct. The new location is located at 544 South Spring Road. It's in the Spring Road Business District. We're closed on Mondays. We're open Tuesday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And for this holidays, we have a various amount of different stuff. We have all kinds of cannolis, obviously. We have the Struffoli, the Soy Adele, the Fozzie Mao, gingerbread houses. We also have gingerbread houses that you could take home and decorate yourself. You know, it's like a kit, cannoli kits. We have mini cannoli kits and large-size cannoli kits, which means you bring home the cannolis yourself. You sit around the table. Everybody gets a shell, and you pass around the bag, and everybody fills their cannoli to their specifications. And, you know, we like to try to get creative. You know, you don't have to have the green stuff on the end. You could have cherries. You could have chocolate chips. You can put whatever you want on the ends, and everyone can decorate them at for dessert.
I love that whole to your own exact specifications.
Correct.
Let the listeners know, of course, too, this isn't just a place to go and pick up your cannolis and take them home, too. This is a place you can sit down, relax, and enjoy. You've got Lavazza coffee. You've got gelato. Mm-hmm. You've got a bunch of things there.
Right, yeah, we have Lavazza coffee, like you said, espresso cappuccino, lattes, 12 different various types of our own gelatos. We have all kinds of different pastries, coffee cakes, we have the cannoli dip trays, which is a huge hit for the holidays. What it is, it's a 12-inch tray of cannoli pieces, you know, the broken shells with a little bit of dip in the center. So it's like a chip and dip, but it's cannoli shells with the cannoli cream in the middle. And, you know, you take your little shell and you dip it in the middle and take a little bit of cannoli cream. We have those. I mean, our place seats about 50 to 60 people. We have a little room, you know. We have the 12 chairs in front where you can sit and have your coffee and your pastry, or you can go on the other side and enjoy, you know, if you have a larger group of, you know, 10 or more or whatever over there and sit down and relax. We also have free Wi-Fi in the building. We're catering. The community is awesome. We love the area. And it's just the beginning. I mean, we really, really, really appreciate all the people that are, you know, patronizing our place. And, you know, we look to really make this place, I mean, do very well and keep up to our name standards. I mean,
next year will be 111th year in the business. Myself and my cousins are the fourth generation in the business, and we're just looking to, you know, to hopefully make it go to the fifth generation, and on from there.
Well, you care, you're passionate about it, and people certainly are excited about it and have supported it for, you know, 100-plus years. It is amazing. And, of course, I want to mention, too, is that for those people that maybe get bit by the love bug and want to maybe get married in 2016, you guys also have kind of a like a wedding cake, you know, viewing and sampling kind of room right there exactly. In the place in Elmhurst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a cake tasting room. My cousin Louie was the inventor of it. I mean, it's a private room. It's about 10 to 12 people. You know, you could bring the in-laws on both, the, you know, parents on both sides, the groom, the bride and groom, and I mean, you can bring the photographer, you can bring the flower people. Everyone sits at the table and decides on the cake, what kind of cake they want. They can have up to 3 different kinds of cakes with the different kinds of fillings, and they taste them and. We like to have it at least 2 months in advance or better, you know, so we can, you know, space everything out and do it right to your exact specifications. And we also, when we, you know, we get down to the nitty gritty as far as ordering the wedding cake, we recommend you bring a swatch because we don't want to just say the color is green. You know, we want to have a swatch exactly the color you want the cake so we can match it identically.
Nice.
So there's no problems or anything. Everything is seamless. You know, where cake's going to be delivered, what have you, and we'll take it from there.
So for your wedding, for your just afternoon, if you're going to be stopping by in Elmhurst, if you're, you know, for whatever it is going to be, if it's good enough for Sinatra, it's certainly good enough for you, and it has been for over 100 years, and it's because of people like Ed Leza. They're carrying the torch and bringing cannolis into the new millennium, into the new century, and, of course, into 2016. Ed, I want to let you get back to your family. I'm sure you guys are building some cannolis to their exact specifications, but I want to thank you so much for being on WGN on Christmas, and before we let you go, give that website out again.
Yeah, our website is www.leza.com. Also, we have a special going on this holiday season. If you spend $50 or more in our retail store in Elmhurst, you get a free pint of our gelato ice cream to take home with you.
Wow.
And I'd like to leave it with, you know, as they all say, is leave the gun, take the cannoli.
That's right. Violence isn't the answer. The answer is cannoli. Ed, thanks so much for being on the show. Merry Christmas. And
Same to you, Dane. Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you. Merry Christmas to all. May you all have a very healthy and prosperous 2016.
All right, thank you. The answer to all the problems in the world is it's cannoli. It's that simple. This is Dane Neal in on the download until 11, and this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio during the download on Christmas night. And 312-981-7200, people are sharing certainly their favorite movies, their favorite things. One of Chicago's favorite things is Eataly. It's only been here for a couple of years, but has already kind of rocketed to the top of some of the favorite things you can buy, and certainly a place that you can experience here in Chicago. And excited to have in studio the entire team, not even the team, but at least four or five different people from Eataly, including their fearless leader, Jason Goldsmith. Jason and team, welcome to WGN.
Ciao, buone feste.
Yeah, and it is great to have you guys in, and thanks for taking time on the holiday. And so Eataly is one of those things that means so many things to so many people on the food side, on the product side, on the dining side, on the entertainment side. And you guys just have not stopped when it comes to bringing people more things to love at Eataly.
That's the plan, to not stop. You know, we opened just over 2 years ago, or it was earlier this month in December that we celebrated our second anniversary here in Chicago. And if you ask my colleagues and I who are here together, we're really just starting to get the handle on this incredible store here in Chicago that has been, as you said, so well received. We've been just really fortunate since day one with all sorts of great support from you and the folks at WGN and just all of Chicago. So we're really just so happy to be here and so happy to be celebrating the holidays here in Chicago.
At least a year before it opened, I talked with Joe Bastianich about it and looking for the perfect location and trying to find it. Talked with Mario. I was actually the first person to talk with him when he sat down here as it opened. And the excitement was just so big, but no one could have seen the excitement of the people, right? You guys were excited as a staff and as a team for Eataly, but Chicago has just been so excited to embrace it. I mean, are you completely surprised by
I don't think any of us are surprised, but you know what you talk about is sort of that the way people feel when they come into Eataly, and Eataly is so many different things to so many different people. For some people, it's a restaurant. For other people, it's their grocery store. For other people, it's just a place to come in and get a perfectly made espresso or an incredible loaf of bread. And the one common theme between all those people is the experience. They talk about how good they feel when they come to Eataly, and you know, frankly, that's why I work at Eataly. It feels great. It's a wonderful place to spend so much time.
Well, I think the authenticity is what is there, and I think being able to bring the best of not only the area, people are surprised sometimes to know that Eataly sources a lot of local farms, local products, you know, to the Chicagoland, to the Midwest area, but also bringing a lot of, you know, what people love about Eataly to Eataly. And you brought some people with who are going to be able to share some of not only the holiday traditions, what Christmas is like there, but also some of those selections that the regions they're from are known for and that you have also brought here to Chicago.
They're here. Real, live, Italiani, just like every day at Eataly here in Chicago. You know, we are an Italian-owned business. Eataly was founded in 2007 in the city of Torino, northern Italy. And so while some people say, oh, wow, there's actually Italians here, like for us, it's pretty normal because we're an Italian business.
Right.
Yeah. And so, of course, to us, it's like, of course they're here. Amazingly, here in the studio celebrating the holidays with us are our three of my colleagues. Maybe I'll just let them say their names and say hello.
Beatrice. Ciao.
Beatrice from Milan, Lombardia. And nothing. Moved here 2 years ago, and it's been great since then.
Wow. Well, we're happy to have you here, not only on Christmas night, but just in Chicago in general. And then, of course, we have Alessandro from Sicily.
Ciao, guys. Buon Natale.
Nice.
Happy Christmas.
And then from Piemonte, we've got Margherita here.
Ciao a tutti. Buon Natale.
So you guys are missing out. You say Buon Natale. You're missing out on Christmas in the areas that you're from. So talk a little bit about the difference between a Christmas in Chicago as opposed to back in Italy.
So actually, I'm very, very lucky because my mom just came yesterday and we spent Christmas together with all Italians here. So she will cook amazing food. And we are, again, very lucky to work at the Eataly store where we can actually purchase everything that we purchase at Eataly in Torino, my town, where the first Eataly come from, like where Eataly started the business there.
9 years ago.
Yes, 9 years ago, in 2007, I remember that day started my new life.
That's awesome. Well, you think about Piemonte, and I think about beef, and is that kind of what
Absolutely.
Your region is so known for?
Yes. So, Razza Piemontese is one of the best beef that you can find in the world. The muscle is so good, it's so clean, and linear, and protein value, everything is pretty good also to cook it with that. In fact, we have like as an appetizer, very famous in Italy, the vitel tonnato that is made with the ground beef. It's very, very good. And my mom will cook that.
Oh,
yeah.
It's good to have your mom in town. It's always
yeah,
good to
absolutely.
Have
yeah.
mom in town. Of course, you can have some of the great things from your region here at Eataly as well. And so Alessandro, Sicily, a world away from Piemonte. So what is it that you guys are bringing to Chicago?
Work. And to be honest, I really miss my grandma's Christmas lunch. In Sicily, it's a drama. So everything starts a month before. Imagine these grandmas kind of fighting each other because someone wants
fighting each other with love.
Fighting each other with love, definitely. And, you know, someone wants to host the lunch of Christmas. So the other grandma has to prepare dinner. So it's kind of fun. It's really intense then because you eat for hours and hours and hours, and families are bigger in Sicily than the north part of Italy, so a lot of people, and you always see some really far cousins just came in town. It's great.
So it's great to have that family atmosphere. Of course, all the staff, the team at Eataly, you always describe yourselves as a family. I was always wondering on the grandma side, you know, in the military, they've got, you know, generals. You got a 1-star general, 2-star. Is there some kind of ranking for the grandmas? Like who gets to decide what?
Absolutely, yes. No kidding. It's crazy. It's crazy. So one of the things that everyone makes fun of the Italian families and the Italian culture that you have to finish what you have on your plate. And trust me, you have to finish what your grandma puts on your dish. It's really, really intense.
When the three-star grandma says you finish it, you definitely finish it. So from Sicily, like, what is name a couple selections that you enjoy back at home that people are enjoying here in Chicago.
Sure. So in particular, the lunch is really long hours eating, and in particular, some antipasti as classic of the Italian culture. Some salami, some olives, a lot of cheeses from, in particular, north part of Sicily, as caciocavallo or provola or pecorino pepato. That is a kind of particular Sicilian sheep cheese with black peppercorn. It's really, really tasty.
It sounds good.
It's great. And we have.
Have you had that?
I'm sure I've had something similar, but the way Alessandro describes it makes me think I need more.
You might need to stop by the cheese counter sometime soon because it's pretty spectacular.
We have a wide selection there. And then we have usually the pasta al forno, that is basically a kind of lasagna, but made instead of the lasagna sheets with penne rigate, so ribbed penne. And basically you prepare all the sauce with the meat and you stuff, in particular in Messina, where my parents are from, with fried eggplant, and you basically cook in the oven, and it's great. And then, in particular in Messina, they are famous for some swordfish and some cod called baccalà. It's similar to baccalà that everyone knows. It's kind of cooked with capers from Pantelleria, and then sauce, onions is a great second dish. It's really delicious.
I think Alessandro just took us on a tour of like four of the departments at Eataly. It was perfect. It was great. He hit the cheese counter, the pasta counter, vegetables.
Guys, you know that. So basically, I'm missing right now. I'm crying. Right. Yeah. I wanna be back in Sicily for a while.
Just still the tip of the awesome iceberg, though. Four of the departments of the probably 80, right, that are there for people to enjoy. And so when it comes to like kind of the end of things in the desserts, I think desserts at Eataly are second to none. And Beatrizia.
Yep, Beatrice.
Okay, it's as close as probably I'm going to get. So you're here from Milan, right?
Yeah, close to Milan, Lake Como.
Okay, wow. Yeah. That's so you're there near George Clooney's neighbor.
Yep.
Okay, so you see him there.
Now
and
we
hang
out all the time.
Wants a dessert, he gives you a call, and he says, so what is it that you love about the area where you're from on the holidays that you can get here at Eataly in Chicago?
So there are differences in the north and in the south as far as traditions for lunch, but desserts puts everyone together, and the dessert that we all eat actually is from Milan, and it's panettone. It's this big, fluffy, really, really good cake, Christmas cake. It was born in Milan, and it's a really important item for many reasons. Like, it's a gift. Everyone, especially like if you are in a family of doctors or something.
Only doctors?
You get so many.
Only
like,
doctors,
everyone. everyone of your friends gives you a panettone. So you end up like with a lot of panettone in your house. And then from Christmas on, you eat it like every day. And there are traditions also on when to eat it. I was telling them earlier, I thought it was a known tradition, but maybe it's just from Milan. Like my dad saves a piece of panettone from the first one he opens, saves it, and then on February 3rd is San Biagio, a saint, day. And you're supposed to keep the slice, eat it in February, and then it's going to keep you healthy for all the winter ahead.
So one of the traditions is to eat cake every single day from now all the way to February. Yeah, that's a wonderful tradition.
Bea, remind me how many different panettone and pandoro we have at Eataly this year.
We have a lot. We have maybe 20 different ones. Yeah. We start for the most classic one with the raisins and orange peels and lemon zest. Then we have ones with apricot, ones with chocolate chip. We really have them for any taste. Yeah.
So regardless what you like or what you don't like, you're going to be able to find it at Eataly and be as traditional as possible. Lake Como, wow, that sounds like a great place I'd want to be. Well, that's one of the things that Eataly does for you, is you're able to kind of transport yourself not only to the best goods from around the Midwest for sure, but all of those traditional things that people from Eataly and from Italy know and love and have brought here to Chicago. So that's great. So we're going to take a quick break. We've got Jason Goldsmith and the team from Eataly in studio with us. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how you can enjoy. You're thinking, okay, it's Christmas, it's food, it's grocery shopping, it's all those things. But they've provided, I think, a second-to-none option for New Year's Eve as well, as they've improved upon it, where you can experience all that Eataly has and then ring in the new year in 2016. It's Dane Neal on 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal and Dino Tiberi in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Christmas, and we're sharing some of our favorite things, and in studio, excited to have the whole team from Eataly with us. And Jason Goldsmith earlier had said that not only can they, you know, help you with all of your groceries, all of your authentic Italian goods, great stuff from all around the Midwest as well, but also that they can help out when it comes to ringing in and getting a little piece of 2016. And we've got Whitney, you're going to tell us all about that, right?
Yeah, so this year we have a bigger and better New Year's Eve celebration planned in typical Italian style. We're combining two of our second floor restaurants into one pop-up restaurant for the evening called Ristorante Mezzanotte. Mezzanotte means midnight, very nice. Appropriate for ringing in the new year. And we are offering a very special three-course menu featuring items such as calamari fritti, delicious fried calamari, our penne alla sorrentina, which is a special dried pasta with tomato sauce, basil, fresh mozzarella. And then you get your choice of a breaded fried pork, maiale alla milanese, or a seafood branzino, which is one of our most popular items. All of that is paired with delicious wine, because, of course, we don't serve food at Eataly.
Or bad wine.
Yeah, no, only the best. And after the dinner, everyone's going to migrate to our newest event space.
Here's where things get interesting.
This is where it's going to be really exciting. We have this stunning space that we converted into a private event space with floor-to-ceiling windows that look out over the Chicago skyline. And we're offering a decadent dessert bar featuring chocolates, our house-made pastries, a hot chocolate bar. If you haven't tried our hot chocolate, it is about as thick as pudding. It's one of the most popular items that we sell. Pandoro, panettone, the Christmas cakes that my colleagues just talked about. And then, of course, plenty of Prosecco, because, again, we don't serve Italian dessert without Italian wine.
Nice.
So we'll be ringing in the new year with a Prosecco toast, and a few of our colleagues will be sabering magnums of Prosecco, which is quite an experience to
It's an element of danger.
You know, why just pull the cork any old regular way?
Get a sword out.
You need a really long sword and a really big bottle and just, you know, lop the top off. Yeah.
No fingers were lost last year.
No. Totally, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all good.
It's only going to happen one night a year, Ristorante Mezzanotte. But is it just at midnight? Do people show up a little bit before? A whole evening?
It's a whole evening. Yeah, the dinner starts. People can be seated between 9:15 and 10 p.m. Okay. They get to, you know, have their selection from several of the dishes for each course, enjoy a nice leisurely dinner, and then migrate into the dessert bar around 11 o'clock. And all of this for the price of $85 per person, plus
great
tax, which is, I think, unheard of. And tickets have been selling very well, so we only have, you know, a handful left. So I recommend that everyone goes onto the website and eataly.com.
One of the great things about Eataly is just the space. It's just the massive space of it and all the different items. And now, is there going to be, and I was talking with Jason before we went on the air, is like, how do you corral all the people? Because you don't want, especially if people are in an imbibing situation, so they may want to celebrate in, you know, aisle number four, you know, downstairs somewhere. Like, how do you corral them all? And then how do you also, like, let's say people do want to look around. I mean, is that an option?
Of course. I mean, the market is open.
Oh, nice. So, okay. Wow. So the whole thing is just open?
The whole of Eataly is going to be open. This is our special event, but Jason can talk about the other options for dining at the restaurants that evening or doing some shopping.
As you and I were discussing, we had a surprising response to New Year's Eve last year. There were people coming in wanting to sit down and have dinner at 10 o'clock, which we weren't expecting. We had this great event last year, so this year we're just going bigger. And so we're leaving all of our restaurants open. We'll be taking our last tables around 10 o'clock or so for people who haven't purchased tickets to the event that Whitney was just describing. And especially this year with the wonderful events that we have going on in Chicago, we expect to see a lot of people downtown, and Eataly is going to be open and ready to accept them. And so, yeah, we'll be taking our last tables in the restaurants. Up until about 10 o'clock, you know, at the pizza pasta restaurant or in our birreria or even just for some, you know, cheese and meat boards or things in La Piazza. And then obviously this event will be kicking off sort of around the same time. And we expect the folks who are joining us for New Year's Eve, you know, to hang out until maybe we stop lobbing the tops off of Prosecco bottles.
I mean, is there kind of a cutoff? It's like 1 a.m.
There's no cutoff. You know, you've been to the store.
Be careful what you say.
You've been to the store.
I was told there was no cutoff.
You've been to the store, and, you know, one of the things that's really nice is just that Italy is a very open place. It's a very free place. You can kind of go and do lots of things, and so there are plenty of places that have lots of rules, and you have to do this over here, and you have to do that. We're sort of, you know, throwing it all open on New Year's Eve, but
wow.
all the people partying will be in the in our Il Salone space that Whitney talked about. So it should be pretty great.
Wow. Well, you've heard it. That's exciting to see that the whole place will be open and available and accessible. And so I know that you'll make some new fans as people get in there and enjoy what is a great New Year's Eve and a way to ring in 2016 at one of their favorite and our favorite and Chicago's favorite places. That's Eataly. For people who want to get information, want to get tickets, want to kind of sign up for it before, I guess, maybe it fills up. Of course, the way that Jason talks, it'll never fill up and it'll never stop. It's the party that just keeps going. You guys did say it would be bigger, right? So we're holding you to that. Where's the website?
It's going to be bigger. So yeah, everything is at eataly.com, eataly.com. And you'll see tabs on there for the Chicago store. And when you go on eataly.com and click on Chicago, you can find out about not only our New Year's Eve event, but all the incredible classes we have in our La Scuola and just general events happening around the store. And in late January, we have an amazing cheese and wine kind of walk around tasting event that we tried last year. And again, we're making it even bigger this year over the course of a couple days. We have some really, really exciting things planned for January.
Oh, there's nonstop excitement. You guys are always, and I know as a team and Dalton, you guys are always pushing the envelope on really great, exciting, and amazing things. Always delicious, always fun, and always authentic. And
it's a good time to talk about that. I guess I mentioned January. Obviously, it's the middle of the holidays here. We're talking about Christmas, but you know, January in Chicago tends to be a little bit of a slower time in the city, and people are recovering, and it just so happens that this year it's going to coincide with Italy's 9th anniversary worldwide. So as opposed to doing something just in Chicago, we're hosting a worldwide celebration of Italy, our 9th anniversary in January. So I'll just give you a little teaser and say that there are going to be lots and lots of delicious reasons to come to Italy in January.
As if there weren't already lots of them. So even more.
A couple lots more in January. We've got some really exciting things planned.
Well, stay tuned for that. Of course, New Year's Eve coming up, and everybody get on board, get your tickets for that, get out there and experience Eataly in all the ways they do it, including some of the exciting things happen in January in 2016. And Jason Goldsmith, and of course, the great team from Eataly, thanks for coming out on Christmas, and thanks for enjoying Christmas with us, and thanks for being on WGN.
We're thrilled to be here.
Thank
Buone
you.
Feste a thanks, tutti. Dan. Ciao.
So great to have good friends from Eataly, and you cannot deny that it is one of the favorite places of Chicago.
There's no question. Empire is getting larger and larger as we speak.
Very, very popular lines, and of course New Year's Eve as well. So 312-981-7200 to go ahead and add in with your favorite things. People have been calling in and texting in with their favorite movies, and I've been surprised. Number one with the movies kind of spanning the decades, some old ones,
right,
and some old classic ones. And then also, there just seems to be a lot of just mayhem and crime involved with them. So Trading Places was also texted in by the 847, you know, with Dan Aykroyd. And
Eddie Murphy.
Right. And I was asking Dino off the air, I'm like, is there a Christmas? I know it's a stockbroker, and I know that they lose the fortune, and he's a homeless guy, as far as Eddie Murphy. But then you said, yes, disheveled Dan Aykroyd in a Santa suit.
Yeah, when he goes south, he really goes south. He ended up coming into the Christmas party with the Santa suit on and stole an entire fish and put it in his costume while he was drinking and causing other mayhem during the party.
Well, mayhem takes on many forms.
And a lighter one this one was,
And some of it have been involved in the program. Now, we've had, you know, some food people obviously do a lot of food stuff here and on stations all over the place, but certainly here on WGN. So we've talked a little bit of food, but also talked a little bit of movies, and we've had some of our friends that are in the entertainment business as well. John Taffer from Bar Rescue was on with us. We're going to have a little bit later on a guy I went to high school with, who is now the guitarist for Rod Stewart and travels the world. He'll be joining us, Emerson Swinford. But then coming up right after this break, these guys, I mean, they're one of the more popular families out there on television, but they have kind of stretched beyond the edges, the envelope that is the home improvement range on HGTV. You see them all over the place.
Right, the Scott Brothers.
Is the Scott Brothers.
Amazing.
So J.D. Scott is going to be calling us from Las Vegas, from their family Christmas.
That's going to be interesting.
So we'll be able to find out if they got a drone. You know, they did.
Of
right?
course.
And then about some of the shows that they're working on together with Scott Brothers at Home, Property Brothers at Home, then some of the shows that he's working on as far as amusement parks and some of the other projects that he's working on. It's going right. to be great.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that.
312-981-7200 to add in for your favorite thing on Christmas night. We have a couple hours left in Christmas night, and I'll be here till 11. It's Dane Neal on 720 WGN. WGN. It is Dane Neal in for the download until 11 on Christmas. And some of the listeners, they're really loving that Don Norton is in doing the news. People are excited to hear you.
Hey, it's nice to be here. What a pleasure.
are you kind of taking in all of the holiday cheer? Is the news less exciting, or is it even more rewarding on a day like Christmas?
It's nice because there really isn't the horrible stuff. I mean, there are a few things, but really, overall, it's a slower news day and a good news day. And I try to put in a couple stories once in a while that carry the feeling of the season. The president, taking gifts to Marines and things like that.
In a word, Don, uplifting.
Yeah, it really is. It's a little more uplifting. You hear nice messages from church services and things like that.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing and enjoy the news for the rest of the evening with us here on Christmas. Now, when it comes to, people appreciating people, this is the guy that we've got on now is a guy that I've known for a long time. He was always a musician, always a friend. And then he went off and became kind of a star working on TV shows and movies. And of course, as the guitarist for Rod Stewart. Now, are you a big Rod Stewart fan?
Actually, I am. I do enjoy his music. I've got several of his songs in my playlist. I actually was listening to some of his Christmas music on the way down here.
Wow. Well, happy to have him. He spent so much time traveling the world, just got back from England, back to the States. He's originally from Chicago, went to Conan High School. He absolutely did. And now, of course, he's in L.A. It is the one and only Emerson Swinford. Welcome to WGN.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Well, for having you, I think a lot of people have been able to have you in whatever medium that maybe they happen to be dealing with at the time. If people see you live, in front of them playing. Of course, they see you on television. You've done, or at least here, your work on television. And you have traveled the world. So, of course, we call you, Chicago's very own. That's where your roots were. I hope you remember that. But you're out in L.A. calling us from there, and you've been traveling so much. So what's it like to always be on a plane?
Well, that's, as my friend in the band with Rod says, that's what we get paid for. The travel can be brutal and, the jet lag and all that stuff. But then the fun part is you get to go play for a couple hours in some exotic, hopefully, locale.
Well, what is it like to be able to, I remember, back in high school, you've always been a musician. You've always been a musician, but to be able to take it and work it and have what it is that you do and your talent recognized and then utilized in such really, really cool ways and kind of be, I think, right at the top of that mountain as far as your career goes. What's that like?
It's amazing. I definitely feel lucky and blessed. But it's definitely a lot of hard work and some sacrifice, including moving away from my friends and family in Chicago. So it feels really great, though. For me, working with Rod, I get to play Maggie May. I get to play Wear It Well. I grew up with these songs. Sometimes I sort of step back and go, cool, I get to play these songs with the man himself. So it's incredible.
it has to be absolutely amazing. But like once you do it 100 times, you just have to probably just, you know, realize and just say like, hey, this is just the way that it is. And there's so much more work that goes on to it. And I think from that side of it, growing up, I worked at Alpine Valley in the summers. And so we saw a lot of bands go, but you see a lot of the work that isn't all just about the spectator and the entertainment side of it. Off the air, before we came on, you were kind of breaking down the nuts and bolts, logistics, the moving parts of the opera world, right? How the conductor, you know, he's got the baton and then you've got the hand that does the other things. So there's a lot of things that not everybody who's enjoying the music get to experience. So for you guys, you know, building this new album, Another Country, like talk a little bit about that process. Because even before you were traveling and playing with the band, weren't you working on albums with Rod Stewart?
Yeah, that's true. I've done a lot of session guitar work and worked with a lot of different people and done movies and stuff like that. So, you know, it was something that I had been doing. And then I sort of came into Rod's orbit in around 2012 and started working on a record called Time, which is something I actually ended up writing a couple songs with him and playing a lot of the guitar on that. Then, also the newest record is called Another Country.
No, just that whole process. So people get to experience and enjoy kind of the finished product, but there is so much work that goes into it. So how does that work? How does that creative process work? And then just even once you have the creative part done, just building what turns out to be that next album.
You know, there's the inspiration part, which can be brief and fleeting and sort of beautiful. But then there's a lot of work that's just, you know, if it's writing the song, you know, you might get an idea for a great chorus. But then you really can step back and sort of hammer it, you know, spend the time hammering away trying to figure out, you know, how do I get this from what I heard in my head, you know, to something that translates to excitement on tape and digitally now. But, it's basically a lot more work than what's behind the scenes. And that's true with shows, too. You know, there's so much that people see and they see the show and they just think, oh, that was so great. And you're concentrating on so many different things. Like for me, I'm getting the next guitar. I have pedals and amps and all sorts of settings. It's going through my mind, you know, okay, got to get this, do that, you know. And of course, we have fabulous road crew that helps us out. But, you know, there's so much more to it that the average person ever sees. And I think that's how it should be. You shouldn't, if you see the working parts, you might be like, ugh, you know.
Well, it's probably very rewarding, too, to kind of look back to experience things at this level now, having been, you know, a guy that was a musician, was probably in a bunch of different bands growing up where you're doing a lot of that, like lugging around, and you're not really doing it at that highest level. So this is, I mean, you probably appreciate it more than some people who maybe achieved success immediately on a big scale, like Justin Bieber.
Yeah, that's true. It's been a long climb up the mountain, and it never really ends. But yeah, we actually played Rock in Rio, and it was for like 88,000 people. That's done in Brazil, and that was an amazing experience. But right before us, Elton John's band was on.
Nice.
And I'm just looking, going like, you know, the band I'm in is going to follow this band. You know, it's like just kind of surreal. You know, you know, of course it's all about Rob, but it's just funny to me. I'm going like, oh, and after Elton John, I'll be on the stage, you know.
Well, to be able to do, I mean, you mentioned, you know, experiencing those songs and hearing them and then being able to be a part of them on a performance side on stage, but then you also get to do some very, very cool things. You guys were on the Tonight Show. How cool was that?
That was amazing. We did the Tonight Show. Recently, we did Jimmy Fallon, Howard Stern, the Today Show. Jimmy Fallon was amazing. That was back in the end of October we did that. And, you know, to sort of continue what we were talking about with behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, as we're about to go on, they had to move the stage that we were playing on into position. And all this stuff has to happen really quickly in, like, 3 minutes. And all these guys are pushing it out there. And our keyboard player has a laptop sitting on a stand that's being pushed out on the stage. And some cable somehow got caught on something, and this laptop goes flying off the stage about, you know, 10-foot ball. And I've never heard our keyboard player, Chuck, I think he invented new swear words. He went, you know, running out there, and he's like, rah, 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 you know, and luckily it fired back up and worked because
whoa.
It would have been in some, basically we wouldn't have had a keyword player at the patch. But it's pretty stressful because that's another thing people don't see, you know, and you don't know what's going or what's just happened, and some performer comes out smiling and does their thing, you know. I guess that's why you get paid the big bucks.
Well, the cool thing is that you get to experience like all aspects of it, the terrifying, you know, like that, yeah. Right? But then also the exhilarating stuff that happens on stage. And having done that, you know, you've been, you know, really successful for a long time. Doing the stuff with Rod Stewart on stage is maybe more of the recent stuff, but all of the session things you mentioned, part of the movies, of course, your award-winning work on Hot in Cleveland. So for all of those things, and different people appreciate different things, what's your favorite thing to do?
Ooh, that's a tough question. And I think why I've been successful is that I like a lot of different things. And in some ways I can, I don't get bored, but I can get, it keeps it from being stale if I'm mixing it up. So it's great to tour with Rob. Then I can come home. I'm working on my own record now. So that's something I do in the meantime. And I like to mix it up. So, you know, variety is the spice of life, they say.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the musical tastes. And as far as like working on your own stuff, I know as a kid, we were all into like heavy metal and hard rock. And obviously you've got, you know, classic and iconic hits with Rod Stewart. But where do your tastes lie? Have they softened over the years, or you still like everything?
I still like everything. But, yeah, I'm not quite as headbanging as maybe as I was. But it's funny because I always go back to classic rock and Beatles and Hendrix and, you know, Clapton and stuff like that, Led Zeppelin. I guess that's kind of where my tastes lie, you know?
And so for people that are going to enjoy, you know, your new album as you start to work on it, like how would you kind of preview it? Like what are they going to be in store for?
Well, the whole idea behind it was just, I have no sort of commercial aspiration. I just wanted to write whatever came to mind and was interesting and satisfying to me. So I don't really have, you know, a record label breathing down my neck saying you got to write a hit. So I'm just sort of writing anything. It runs the gamut, but, you know, it isn't like I'm creating 12-tone poems or something that are abstract and, you know, it's still acceptable music. So
it's not like like a Bjork tribute album or anything.
No, it's, you know, it's definitely accessible, but I just wanted to do something that at the end of the day, I was pleased by it, and hopefully other people will too, but there's all sorts of stuff. I would say sort of Brit rock all the way to like a, guitar instrumentals, and but I didn't want to do too many guitar instrumentals because that can get boring. So there's just a couple on there. I think they're interesting enough that a person who's not necessarily a guitar player will actually enjoy just on a musical level.
Well, people will appreciate your playing for sure, and they'll enjoy the music that you enjoy, as you have provided so much enjoyment in kind of all facets, right, of the musical career, whether it's behind the scenes on the soundtrack side, or whether it's, you know, on stage, you know, next to Rod Stewart in front of 80,000 people in Rio following Elton John. I mean, how cool is that? So if people want to, and I know you're on Facebook, but if people want to, like, you know, catch up with you or kind of keep track of all your adventures, do you have any social media way that you'd suggest for either fans or friends from Chicago to do that?
Besides Facebook, which I don't know if I'm at my limit yet, but I'm getting up there. But I have emersonswinford.com, and I try and keep that up to date. And certainly as the record gets close, I hope to be done in March. So as that gets closer, I'll tell you how to be able to purchase it and where it's available.
Keep us posted. Yeah. March for the new album, emersonswinford.com. It's a great name. Right, for the website, I think it totally fits. EmersonSwinford.com to keep up with all the things going on with Emerson. Of course, on Facebook, get in while the getting is good before the limit gets hit. And then I think it's a testament to what you're doing. So excited to be able to reconnect with you on this. Excited to bring what it is that you're doing that so many people enjoy here to WGN today.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Dane.
All right, thanks, Emerson, and enjoy the rest of your Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Emerson Swinford, so you get out and see him with the Rod Stewart Band. That's neat. Do you know anybody? Do you know that you were friends with that just all of a sudden became
really famous?
Rod Stewart's guitarist?
Not even close.
Well, give it some thought. Well, you know, someone could come to mind, and what could also come to mind is some things that people are enjoying on Christmas, including the movies and some of the things that they got. I mean, we've got a lot of people with drones for sure. 312-981-7200 is Christmas night. Daniel in for the download on 720 WGN.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see.
720 WGN, it is Daniel in for the download here in the Allstate Showcase studio until 11 o'clock, and people are thankful for so many different things. You know, friends and family seems to be a current theme. Drones are a current theme. And of course, some of the great entertainment that has been out there on the movie side, and some of the ones that people have suggested, and you can too, and be entered to win our Ergo Chef knife. Go to ergochef.com. You pick any knife you want.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. And also the Wellness Man, and two tickets to classic cinemas.
You can go see the first run movies right now.
So some of the ones that people have suggested, and not all of them are the ones that you think of in a team photo of Christmas movies. Holiday Inn, White Christmas, Rudolph, of course, Frosty, of course, Trading Spaces, not so much. Bad Santa, we know Santa's in it. I mean, he's in the title, but it's kind of
not your typical Santa movie, I don't think.
Not a typical one, but
still entertaining.
Yeah, definitely. 312-981-7200. One of the things that people are thankful for, I think, at least sports fans, is the NFL. And on a regular basis, like, we'll talk with people, you know, that are either, you know, commentators or players in the NFL. Wayne Larrivee we'll talk to on a regular basis.
Sure.
He's a longtime voice of the Bears.
The Bears, and then now with the Packers.
With the Packers. And you know, one of the things that you do is you kind of break down the action. You pick a few games, right?
Yeah, there's just about five this week. So, you know, I picked out five I think are playoff relevant.
Well, before we get to that, because remember, you were going to give some thought to any famous person that you may know. Of course, Emerson Swinford, guitarist for Rod Stewart, we just had on. And of course, the listeners want to think of somebody famous that they know or grew up with. Growing up in Flint, Michigan, and this is from the 815, my cousin Scott Frost became famous in Grand Funk Railroad. Nice.
We're an American band.
That's right. That's pretty impressive. Oh,
that's really cool.
That is pretty impressive. Okay, so Dino, what are we going?
All right, we're just going to go top to bottom here. Tomorrow, Washington at Philadelphia. This is a big-time battle for the NFC least, as they call it, because their records are so bad. Washington's in first place right now. They're going to Philadelphia. Washington's got the upper hand right now. If they can win, I think that'll basically close out the hopes for Philadelphia in the playoff race. And the Giants had an outside chance as well, but there are a lot of things will have to happen. But I think Washington gets that one. 34-24 over Philadelphia is my prediction in that one. New England going to MetLife Stadium to play the Jets. New England's Tom Brady's been playing, he's been at an MVP level all year long. I think the Jets are playing well themselves, but I think New England finds a way to get it done 27-20 in that game. I think Brady, even though he's got a, you know, there's some injuries on their side, I think they're going to take that one.
So what's your thoughts on Tom Brady? Obviously, you know, easily, you know, immediate first ballot Hall of Famer on the football side, but he's done it with so many different teams. I think that's where you look at the versatility of him as a player. He's been the, you know, when he had Randy Moss, he was breaking touchdown records. When he had nobody, he was just like throwing it to tiny guys who are just scrambling for a handful of yards. I mean, it doesn't really, it's like whatever he's got to work with, he just seems to win.
Well, that's what's so amazing about him, and how much you have to respect him is he hasn't had, like you just said, Randy Moss. Probably the only one you can really think of that's really a star receiver, and he got him towards the end of his career. So, I mean, for him to do the things he's doing with the, you know, the cast of receivers and running backs that he has at his disposal over the years is pretty amazing. And they, you know, they just keep rolling along. They're 12-2, and they're on their way to the first seed in the AFC. So it's going to be, I think they get the Jets this week by a touchdown. Next up, it looks like Green Bay and Arizona. Green Bay going out to the Cardinals, and the Pack 10-4, the Cardinals 12-2. Green Bay leading the Central ahead of Minnesota, so they need to win this game because they're only a game ahead. And the final is going to be, you know, Minnesota taking on the Pack. the last week of the season. So this game's pretty big if Green Bay can win it.
Yeah, I think they're hitting. I think they're hitting the shot. I mean, hit with a lot of injuries. Obviously, they've lost so many people, and Aaron Rodgers has not been the same Aaron Rodgers that he's been. Whether it's his relationships and his, you know, maybe his Hollywood girlfriends, or whether there's been some rumors about some problems with one of his shoulders, and so he's had some issues. But I think they're hitting their stride, and I think they're going to kind of stay strong as they get towards the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's Arizona right now has a little bit of an edge. I think it'll be a 3-point game. I think Arizona gets the win 30-27. It's going to be a higher scoring game, I think, because they both have pretty good offenses. But I think that Arizona is just going to have a little bit more than Green Bay in that one. So Cincinnati at Denver on Monday night, that's another battle for a playoff spot. Cincinnati could go from getting a bye right out of the playoffs if they lose their last two games. So it's a big game for them to win. Denver is, you know, still battling. Now they're leading the West, so I think that Denver is going to get that one. That's going to be a close game. Both defenses are playing really well. Should be a low-scoring game. I'm thinking 21-20, Denver takes that one.
Okay, good to know.
Yep, and finally, the Bears taking on Tampa Bay in Tampa on Sunday, and the Bears are just, I don't know, maybe they need to get on the road to win. You know, they come home and they actually, you know, they just look bad both weeks. They lose, and now they go to Tampa and take on Lovie Smith and his team, and you know, and they're out of the playoffs. So, and the Bears are banged up too. So I think the Tampa will win that game in a close one, 27-23.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, in overtime, a team will defer, right? Or even after the kickoff, maybe that's what the Bears should just defer the home field advantage. Who knows what is going to happen? Well, thanks, Dino, for that, of course.
Well, appreciate it. Yep. Good luck, with the Bears this weekend. We'll see. Maybe they can win, but I still think Tampa gets them.
All right. That sounds good. All right. Well, that is one of the things that people are thankful for is the NFL. If you've got a call and you still can get in on some of our prizes that we've got here as Christmas is kind of winding down, but we are going to take a quick break when we come back. And for all those people on hold, stay on hold, and we'll get to you right after the break. It's Dane Neal in for the download on 720. WGN, it is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Christmas night, downtown Chicago, Michigan Avenue. It doesn't get better than this, and when you add in that we're going to be pushing, I think, over 50 degrees tomorrow, it's pretty great.
Pretty amazing. This late in the year, we're still, you know, no snow on the ground, and it's warm, and windy, a little bit windy, but not bad. It's quite enjoyable out there today.
312-981-7200, people have been texting in and calling in all night long with their thoughts on Christmas, things they're thankful for, some of the favorite things that they've got. And we've got J.D. Scott coming up in just a minute. But really quick, we want to get to Elizabeth. She wants to give a shout out. Elizabeth, Merry Christmas. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Merry Christmas, Elizabeth.
Hey, Tino, how are you?
Fine. How are you, young lady?
We're great. We're all sitting here listening to you.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we wanted to call in and tell you Merry Christmas.
Well, you know, the Browns are a good bunch of people out there in the western suburb. We'll be getting over to see you guys pretty soon. Thanks for listening tonight.
We're looking
and Merry Christmas
to
all of you.
I'll let them know. They're all listening. They'll hear it.
All right.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Well, one thing's that, you know, because one of your secret talents, Dino, is that you are, you know, the world's foremost Harry Carey channeler. We don't even call it an impersonator because you really take on the physical embodiment of the individual.
Well, that's part of the whole experience, Dane. And, you know, we got J.D. Scott coming up. You know, J.D. Scott spelled backward is quality programming. Everything this guy touches and he's involved in is a great show, and I look forward to talking with him in just a moment.
Well, let's let the listeners know, of course, he is a member of one of the most prominent and promising too, I think, from a future success standpoint, the Scott Brothers. They are absolutely everywhere, and you can see him as a star of All American Amusement Parks on the Great American Country Network, and of course Property Brothers at Home on HGTV, and he's calling us from home. Wow, right? Where he's at. JD, welcome back to Chicago and WGN.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
Well, it is, Chris. First off, thanks for taking time out. And now, did you have to back away from the table and say, okay, everybody, family, mom, dad, brothers, I've got to go make a call. I'm needed in Chicago.
I did actually, and I, as you know, I'm a little late. I was supposed to talk to you about a half hour ago, but dinner is still going on right now. I think they're into dessert, so I am skipping dessert for you guys.
Nice.
Thanks for the sacrifice.
And for those people that know, of course, JD's in reasonable shape, so you don't have to do that. You know, everything in moderation. Go ahead and enjoy some dessert. So I know that the listeners were excited. They were texting in and they were calling about what is a Scott family Christmas like. You know, on television, you know, they see you guys. You guys obviously have a great and fun, loving relationship with, you know, with your family and with your friends and with the pets and stuff. But when it comes to a big holiday like this, how do you guys do it?
Well, that's just it. We're all about family, and this is the time of year when that really is amplified. We come together in Las Vegas. The whole family is here. We celebrate on Christmas Eve and through Christmas Day. So that's what we've been doing for the last, like, 2 days is just, you know, really involved family time and lots of games, maybe a few drinks, you know. How it goes.
We were worried. We knew that it wasn't too late. Sometimes, you know, when we do some of the later shifts, you know, people can just get sleepy depending on the time zone. And, you know, but on a, you know, a recognized and guaranteed, like, celebratory day like Christmas, we were hoping that you didn't just, you know, get sleepy, you know, have too many cocktails or glasses of fine wine at dinner.
This is my typical Christmas. Get up early, do the whole gift thing, have a breakfast. Then I have a nice long nap for about 3 hours.
There it is.
And then
you
get up and do the whole evening festivities, yeah.
So now are you guys all at the home that was featured on television? Is that where you guys are celebrating tonight?
Yeah, that's where we do the whole family thing because there's a lot of room here. My parents have a house just off the main house. And so we do the celebrations here. But I obviously live in Vegas, too, so it's not far for me to go.
Right. Well, weather-wise, you know, we're kind of rivaling you here in Chicago. We talked about it earlier, that it isn't necessarily a brown Christmas. Sometimes, you know, when we don't have snow, it's kind of a brown, kind of dead Christmas. It's absolutely green. I mean, it's like 50, 60 degrees. It's been crazy weather-wise.
Yeah, it's pretty brown here. It's the desert. But I actually have a special guest with me right now. Drew just walked in.
Nice.
Yeah. Terrific.
I have all the dirt on JD if you really want it.
So you're on the air with Chicago right now.
Hey,
WGN.
We were just talking about Chicago this morning.
Now, when are you guys all going to get out to Chicago? And I want to tell you, we had John Taffer on earlier, and he was talking about the bars in the Chicagoland area are successful even when the team isn't. But we'd love to get you guys out to Wrigley Field to do like the seventh inning and a first pitch and enjoy some of this resurgent Cub team.
No, that'd be awesome. We were asked to throw the first pitch for the Yankees. So if we want to do it with you guys first, then we'll just stick it to them and be like, take that.
The Cubs are the...
I'd love to. Let's wait till the weather warms up.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, the season has to be going. It wouldn't be that great if there's no one, you know, no one in the stands. Now, you guys living in Vegas...
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Depends on my pitch. Yeah.
Now, for you guys, you know, growing up, you guys grew up in Canada, correct? Before you moved to Las Vegas, of course, the weather is so. How is that whole Christmas feel? Because I know in times when I've gone to like warm weather destinations during Christmas, being from Chicago, it's just kind of weird for me.
That's a great thing about being in an area that has all four seasons. You get that true Christmas feel around December. You don't get that in Las Vegas. We have to kind of decorate everything up. You don't get the snow, that's for sure.
But we left. I mean, I never liked the snow, the cold. Neither did JD or Jonathan. And so I actually enjoyed going away. If I want to go somewhere with snow, I'll go for a couple of days for a weekend, somewhere I don't have to drive in it or live in it, and then I'll leave and go back to warm weather.
Although I will say this, I did hear that it was there were some flurries in Las Vegas last night.
That's true. Yeah, there was.
Yeah, we heard that in the news a little bit earlier tonight. There was nothing stuck to the ground, but there was snow, which is more than we could say for Chicago right now.
Are you sure that wasn't just promotion for the latest David Copperfield like trick? It's like, I'm going to make it snow.
Yeah, it was magic. It was an illusion.
But I will say for us, though, it's the family side of it. Whether we have snow or not, for us, it's getting all of us together. Our parents are here. All of us are together. JD's girlfriend, my girlfriend, we're all here. So that's what matters to us.
I like to get them together just so that I can give them the news that I'm cutting them off. I'm no longer going to
Come on, you guys. You guys got to.
JD's getting cold for Christmas.
You guys got to stick together. Of course, we're talking with Drew and JD Scott. You know them from Property Brothers at Home and Property Brothers. And guys, are you surprised? You know, it's one thing to have a successful career on HGTV, but we loved Duff Goldman is a good friend of mine, and I love the commercial that you guys did with the sweaters. But that you guys are expanding beyond the home improvement realm and becoming completely mainstream stars.
Well, the big thing, JD, Jonathan, and myself, we all come from other backgrounds before we even got into real estate. I mean, myself, I'm an actor. Jonathan's an illusionist. I mean, JD does everything under the sun. We got into real estate as a way to fund our creative endeavors, and it just so happens that the show took off and people started to know us for that. So it's nice that we can expand back to other areas that we're known for, whether it's travel, whether it's something in food, whether it's sport. I mean, I played in the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game a couple of years ago, which is something people did not expect to see.
Wow.
It's those kind of things that we really enjoy doing.
I think Drew is just name-dropping there a little bit.
Yeah, I was in,
now, are you saying you attended the NBA All-Star Game, or you were...
No, he played in the celebrity game.
Nice.
Oh. I was the first celebrity that was not an ex-NBA player that hit three-pointers. I hit two threes in the game. So who knows? If I play again... maybe I'll be able to up it. Maybe I'll dunk on Shaq or something.
I'm going to ring out his treasure though and tell you that Jonathan actually, his team beat Drew's team. So.
Yeah, yeah. I won the Shooting Stars Challenge.
Oh, so now here's the thing is that you guys are all together and super family oriented, but you guys are so competitive. Were you guys always this competitive?
You know what? I am not actually competitive. I enjoy watching them compete, and then I just kind of I pipe in every so often. And
No. What JD enjoys, because I'm the most competitive person you'll ever find on the planet, and I love to compete, especially against Jonathan. JD likes to be like the guy in the wings pulling the strings. He's sort of, the puppeteer?
Yes.
Yeah, he likes to manipulate each side to screw us over and then laugh at our fails.
Yeah, I like to throw wrenches in every so often. If someone's doing very well. Yeah, we'll take care of that.
JD, I got to tell you, that's
for a wrench in me.
No, safety first. But I got to tell you, that's the best place to be in is like the puppeteer, the mastermind over all of it. I think that's probably an enviable position.
It's not bad. I think he likes that. I, on the other hand, don't mind being the grunt down there on the ground doing all the competitive work. I'll be the gladiator.
Well, we're just about to start filming Brother versus Brother the next season, and that's my role on Brother versus Brother. That's what I do.
Just to stir up the pot, right?
So where do you
stir the pot?
So first off, like, where do you guys see it going? I mean, how many more shows? Because you guys have so many hit shows on HGTV, and then of course you guys do all of the guest shots on all of the other shows. Do you guys see that, or have you guys masterminded? You know, like a perfect vehicle to kind of break out and showcase all of your talents.
Well, I think that it's all about diversifying when it comes to this stuff. You don't want to be stuck or pigeonholed in one area. So we do have other things that we're branching out into. Jonathan and Drew just released a book.
Yeah, we have. I mean, it'll release actually in April, but we did a pre-sale on the book. I mean, we have a lot of stuff on the go. Our Scott Living Furniture and Decor is out, but also our production company, we produce shows that we're not in as well. And we have stuff we're developing, which we'll be announcing in the new year for travel, food, social experiment, competition. Yeah.
Social experiments.
I think we're in like seven shows right now altogether. But that doesn't include the ones that we produce.
What we actually do, we're taking radio hosts from Chicago for social experiment. We're putting them in a room, locking them in together, and we'll see who will eat who first.
Oh, boy.
Perfect.
I've got an appetite, and I'm also competitive. I will survive, and I will be well fed. I'll just tell you that right now. Well, guys, I want to let you get back to your Christmas. I can't thank you guys enough for jumping on the phone and talking with us here in Chicago. But let people know where they can kind of keep up with all your adventures and be the first ones to know about some of those new projects like the cannibal one.
Yeah, make sure you follow us online. So we're on all the regular social media. I'm Mr. JD Scott. He's Mr. Drew Scott. Jonathan is Mr. Silver Scott. And we post up every day.
Yeah, and you can also check out thescottbrothers.com on the website, thescottbrothers.com. We have information on anything we're doing, whether it's new shows or whether it's something like when JD went to with World Vision to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. We have all the info and all the fun.
God, what don't you guys do? That's pretty amazing. Unbelievable.
It was a busy year. We had a big year.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing is America is having a big year along with you because they're loving everything that you guys are doing. And so thanks so much for all the entertainment that you're providing us. And it's great to talk to you. And thanks so much for joining us here on WGN.
Merry Christmas, boys.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having us. And thank you to all the fans.
Merry Christmas.
All right.
Merry
thanks. Christmas. Thanks, JD. Thanks, Drew. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, that's great. Wow. The Property Brothers, like,
unreal.
So many things they can do. Love the commercials. They're all over the place.